answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
There is no longer any doubt the unified corporate globalist-owned media is pushing an open race war in America. The NFL and every other Hollywood-connected group of narcissistic, self-entitled, rich dirtbags have lined up like cowards, believing they'll break the will of the American people, when all they're doing is irrevocably separating the boys from the men. As the true patriots in America of every color come together and forever separate ourselves from the globalists and the pushers of guilt. That's all coming up, but first, the looming threat of nuclear war. North Korea says the U.S. has already declared war.
Following President Trump's condemnation of tyrannical dictatorships at the United Nations last week, North Korean Foreign Minister Ri Yong-ho made the dangerous assumption that the United States has declared war with North Korea.
And North Korea's foreign minister said that President Trump had declared war on North Korea and that it reserves the right to take countermeasures, including shooting down U.S. aircraft. Does the White House view President Trump's comments at the U.N. as a declaration of war?
Not at all. We've not declared war on North Korea, and frankly, the suggestion of that is absurd.
The absurd reality that a person like Trump, a mentally deranged person full of megalomania and complacence, the person who is chastised even by American people as Commander in Grief, Lion King, President Evil, is holding the seat of the U.S. president, and the dangerous reality that the gambler who grew old using threats, frauds, and all other schemes to acquire a patch of land holds the nuclear button. These are what constitute the gravest threat to the international peace and security today. During his 8 months in power, he has turned the White House into a noisy marketing place full of crackling sounds of abacus bees, and now he has tried to turn the UN arena into a gangster's nest where money is respected and bloodshed is the order of the day. He tried to insult the supreme dignity of my country by referring it to a rocket. By doing so, however, he committed an irreversible mistake of making our rocket's visit to the entire U.S. mainland inevitable all the more, in case innocent lives of the U.S. are harmed because of this suicide attack, Trump will be held totally responsible. What else could be a bigger threat than the violent remarks such as pouring fire and fury, total destruction, coming from the top authority of the world's biggest nuclear power? The very reason the DPRK had to possess nuclear weapons is because of the U.S., and it had to strengthen and develop its nuclear force onto the current level to cope with the U.S. The only valid philosophical principle is that force must be dealt with force, and nuclear weapons of tyranny must be dealt with nuclear hammer of justice. Yeah.
President Trump responded in a tweet saying, "Just heard Foreign Minister of North Korea speak at UN. If he echoes thoughts of little Rocket Man, they won't be around much longer." This exchange gives Kim Jong-un's irrational dictatorship all the propaganda it needs to shoot down U.S. bombers that have been performing drills in international waters. Meanwhile, serious sanctions are underway as China bans exports of petroleum products and imports of North Korean textiles beginning October 1st. Additionally, President Trump signed off on a ban of travelers from North Korea, Chad, and Venezuela, barring senior government officials from those countries from obtaining non-immigrant visas. North Korea is just beginning to feel the pressure of President Trump's rallying of the international community to take the DPRK seriously. John Bound reporting for Infowars.com.
We're locked and loaded. Spread the word.
We've got it. We've got it. The transmission is coming to you.
Waging war on corruption.
All right, you want to go?
It's Alex Jones, coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
North Korea is saying they will preemptively strike the United States and have threatened the American people to remove Donald Trump from office, so they'll basically hit us with hydrogen bombs dipped on top of intercontinental ballistic missiles. They've been terrorizing their own slave population for almost 70 years, and now they think they can shake their fist at us and do the same thing. Former congressman and all-around really intelligent historian and medical doctor, Ron Paul, will be joining us coming up at the start of the next hour. He's written a big article that's up at newswars.com, and it's also on infowars.com. Ron Paul, how to end the Korea crisis. Kim joined Saddam, Gaddafi, Assad on a list of madmen, says Paul. And Kim Jong-un better understand, when they start calling you a madman at the Pentagon, that means you're about to get killed, buddy. And I don't want this to happen. I don't want to have to go to nuclear brinksmanship, but you are about to get blown off the map, just like the Germans, just like the Japanese, and just like everybody else. So you want it. All your little stupid communist outfits, you're about to get it. And I understand the globalists are in the middle of this, and I understand America's got problems, and I understand all that. But I was against the Iraq war. I was against backing the Arab Spring. I was against all the wars that turned out to be frauds. But this one is real and never stopped since 1953. It's just been hit on pause. Like you're playing a video game, you hit pause, or you're watching a movie, you hit pause, you know, go take care of something, come back an hour later. Well, you come back. How many years has it been since 1953? 60 plus years. And the game never stopped. And we've got the third generation of a hereditary dictator there. And I understand it's not just that if we nuke North Korea, then other countries may preemptively hit us down the road. They might do it that day. Or India and Pakistan, who've already been threatened to nuke each other, might do it. Or India and China. They say war is like a virus. And once it starts spreading at that level, it gets out of control. Like fire, war is extremely dangerous. And in times of global crisis, political unrest, economic unrest, global hysteria, large populations, things of this nature come to a head and planets align in a very dangerous way that adds accelerant to the fire, like 150 mile an hour winds on a dry day through the forest. And I've got four children. I know that I thank God and my lucky stars every single day that we're not already in the middle of a giant nuclear war, that we've survived this long. And so I certainly don't at some primitive level want to show Kim Jong-un who's the better man. And I associate nationalistic with America. And so I want to have a war so I can have some more national pride. The truth is our government gave them the nuclear reactors and the missiles to create a strategy of tension in the region and have an excuse for us to be there. But we didn't originally put the communists in. We fought them. As far as Korea goes, we did put Mao in 47, 48, 49 fully, just a few years before this war started. And he turned around and stabbed America in the back and saw us as weak and decided he was going to take Korea, Vietnam, and everything else. But the intellectuals inside our government thought communism was a better system because they'd be in charge of it. There's an article up on newswars.com right now where a West Point grad who's a Kaepernick fan has written inside of his hat, communism will win, right as he's graduating. That image, that photo, that story is up on Infowars.com and Newswars.com. We'll be getting to it, and we just tweeted it out at Real Alex Jones. There's a lot of powerful forces in each country manipulating to get more control over their populations and to obviously power grab even more control. But what you've got is a bunch of people in this nation that have been taught that it's cool, that have been taught that it's fun, that have been taught that that's how they get attention, that have been taught that the more chips on your shoulder you have, it's like more degrees. And the bigger a thumbsucker you are, and the lazier you are, and the more entitled you are, and the more arrogant you are, the more powerful you are. But of course you're not. You're losers. And the NFL and other gladiatorial diversions are what helped lull America to sleep. And we decided that the NFL was America. Not our coal mines, not our industry, not our churches, not our beliefs, not our Second Amendment, not our religious freedom, not our strength, not our will, not our dogged, rugged individualistic spirit that refuses to back down. No, we were taught that men out there in simulated combat were the greatest heroes. And as the society became decadent and more narcissistic and corrupt and more godless and more pathetic, just as Hollywood became completely degenerate and completely anti-American, so have all the other spoiled bastions of elitism. And now their final enjoyment is politically hating their own fans, culturally hating their own fans, and having giant, entitled pity parties directed by the most vicious, ruthless think tanks and crime syndicates and multinational combines the world has ever seen. If you ever wanted to witness the full bore battering ram attack to knock down America and to break our will and to bully us into globalist submission, to hate ourselves, to hate our flag, to hate our freedom, to hate our military, to hate everything, because we're the big object to capture for global domination. You capture America, you have the world. The communists, the socialists, put in by robber barons, protected by the technocrats to this day, because they sit and enslave their people. They squat on top their slave populations. They are who the globalists want to deal with, in Carol Quigley's own words at Georgetown, top political science professor there, author of Tragedy and Hope, trainer of hundreds and hundreds of high-level State Department and CIA officials to understand the great vision, the great worldview, the great program of authoritarianism by every flavor, by every color of the rainbow, but still the great goal of total global domination and social engineering over every aspect of human activity to the point of rendering a rebellion by the people as is impossible as a rebellion of sheep against the practice of eating mutton, to quote Bertrand Russell. They have many tools to control us. They first claim they have the moral high ground, that they're the intellectuals. They claim they're the resistance. They claim they're battling the establishment when they at the NFL and they in Hollywood and they in the big TV networks and the entertainment combines are all extensions of the true global ruling class that wishes to dynamite the ladders of ascendancy for their fellow humans so that they can control the development, both culturally, evolutionarily, and spiritually, of the human species. It's a cold-blooded, full-bore, 110% pure, selfish power grab. And look at what we have here. 3 years of people kneeling and bitching at the bloated, pathetic NFL as their ratings are down more than 35% from just 3 years ago. And as the stadiums are more than half empty, in some areas it's down by 50, 60% on average 40. Got the numbers right here. That's flatlining. And I love all the decadent, slob-like, pathetic, I'm going to skip this break, owners all trying to lock arms together against America, thinking that if they can just break the will of Trump, that somehow the fans will come back, when what you've done is assured that 30, 40% is never coming back. And another 20 or 30% will soon follow. And then they're going to stop watching you on TV entirely, because everybody's got a sick feeling now that they're in the enemy camp, that they're being preyed on by a bunch of losers when they're part of this. And so a beautiful thing is happening, because they captured the NFL. They captured American institutions. They've been beating us over the head with them. And now, because they pushed and pushed and pushed into all the sanctums of where people just wanted to take off time and sit around and, you know, watch the Fox Sunday football with Terry Bradshaw and all the rest of them, to just see unified America hate, unified virtue signaling, unified hype, unified peer pressure by a bunch of followers and a bunch of losers. Because if you don't bow to what the globalists want, and then and it'll be every other little social signal after this, if you don't give in to this, if you don't do whatever they say, if you don't accept that you're bad and you're racist and you're evil, and that you've got to politically do whatever they say in this new cult you're in, well, we're going to get you fired. You know, the Hispanic gentleman, I won't even say his name now because it's a shameful name, not an honorable name to a great extent. They threatened to fire him, just like the coach said he was looking at disciplining him on Sunday. He was the lone stealer, Alejandro, that would come out, Army veteran, Army Ranger veteran, and put his hand over his chest. But see, the rest of the team had said, no, we're a cult. You don't have free speech. We can act like we're pissing on Trump in the end zone. That's okay. Nobody gets fined for that. We can cuss during the national anthem. We can do whatever we want. Just don't go put your hand over your chest. That's a no-no. You violated the team. You're bad. We're going to fire you. So he came out and said, I'm ashamed of myself, of what I did. Because they're threatening his... What is he getting paid? $4, $5, $6 million a year? They're threatening his paycheck. In the end, Alejandro Villanueva's beliefs were more complicated than many wanted to hear. Oh, it's a complicated thing, because he's looking at getting fired now. So he says he's ashamed. They go, just forget about him. Let him get his paycheck. It was complicated. He says, I apologize. I'm ashamed of myself. I made my teammates look bad. These are all quotes. That's the cult we live in America, folks, where you write in your hat at West Point that communism will win and put your fist up, you're about to get a job probably running a subdirectorate of a major intelligence agency. You call yourself reality winner. You say you hate white people. They should all be genocided. And you want to join ISIS? You get promoted to running an entire NSA FBI database. You say you hate America, you're going to the top. You're like Jack Posobiec, quietly enable intelligence for his country, based over in Asia, you name it, comes back, fights for the Trump campaign, helps him win, running one of his biggest groups. They say, oh, the president likes Jack Posobiec. He loses his security clearance. Let's kick him out of the Navy if we can. But man, another guy pulls open a Che Guevara shirt and says communism will win. And you know now, in the halls of power, young man, you're a good traitor. You're going to lower that drawbridge and bring down the Republic. We need scum like you. Good job. That's how late the hour is. And look at these clips we've got coming up. NBA coach white people especially need to be made to feel uncomfortable. Oh, like the 10-to-1 attacks on whites by blacks because they deserve it? The black folks in the... I've got a couple crime reports right here. The guy that went in and shot a bunch of people, killing folks at that Tennessee church because they were white and Christian, and he was an immigrant from Sudan and a Muslim. He said on his Facebook, and he's confessed to the police, he said, I wanted to kill a bunch of white people because they're racist. Well, if they weren't before, they might be now, and I think that's a bad thing. No, white folks on average see through all this. I wonder if there'll be anybody taking knees for those folks that got shot in the face, in the back. No. In fact, remember a year ago, the NFL, the Dallas Cowboys wouldn't even have a few seconds for the 5 dead police officers, a couple of them black in Dallas, who got shot in the back by Black Lives Matter and killed, and they denied the request. They told the Dallas Police Department, you got to pay money for that. And of course, you know the NFL's getting paid. You know it's come out. They're getting paid for everything you see them do. All this anti-American crap, they're getting paid by big foundations. Just like Comedy Central's getting paid to put out a show every night of the week, lying about yours truly, misrepresenting what I say and what I do. And I don't even know if I'll even address that, though they want fodder for their little show, because they're not really that important. But it is important to address the propaganda. And in the piece, they let you know, their first show last night, who the enemy is. And you notice China, I first told you this about a decade ago, but now it's been all over the news. China finances the majority of U.S. movies and all 6 of the big movie houses, the production companies. And they pay, in some cases, $20 million per film to just show a line of communist Chinese flags, to show a Politburo, and to have the Chinese president, who's a dictator, save the world from the aliens. They paid money for that in Arrival. Look it up. They paid money in The Martian that America couldn't produce booster rockets to get to Mars in the rescue mission, but the Chinese had rockets. They had to get them from us. The U.S. won't even let us produce our own rockets now as part of a strategic sabotage under Obama. We have to get them from the Russians. The United States had as good of boosters as the Russians have now in the 70s, but the plans were destroyed under secret executive order. That's right. The plans drawn up by the German scientists were destroyed. More globalist sabotage. And what are these shows? The opposition. Because see, in the show he goes, we're the conservatives, we're the opposition to the resistance. That's the big lie. When we're the resistance, Trump's the resistance, you're the resistance. We have the whole power structure, the whole globalist force. The communist Chinese, the Pope, Hollywood, the media, the big think tanks, the big telecoms, the big computer companies, the big social networks, Facebook, Twitters, Googles, all against Trump and America and a resurgence. And the NBA and the National Baseball League and all of it, all lined up against us. And little InfoWars is one of the big threats. Little InfoWars. And then the first thing they tell you in their promo, China isn't real. No, brother. We've sent our reporters many times to China. We've had our reporters inside North Korea. I get on the phone and talk to high-level people in the agencies, you name it, the president. What do you mean? I don't know that China's real. That's what they sell, that we're these insular country bumpkins that don't know. No, I know China is probably, in fact, let's look into it, because I know they're funding Time Warner Productions, and I know they've had a bunch of mergers and stuff. Isn't Comedy Central, I meant to do this morning to check it. I don't even pay attention. Aren't they owned by Time Warner? Please look that up for me. No, I know, Comedy Central. Who owns Comedy Central? Who owns Comedy Central? Let's put that in a search engine. And I guarantee you, because I know Time Warner gets money from the communist Chinese. I know Universal. I know Fox. I know they all do. So I said, notice, I went from memory. It's either Viacom or it's because it's been going back and forth. So Viacom, it's owned by Viacom. Viacom gets massive money. They own CBS. They own a bunch of the production houses. Viacom's the biggest media company in the world. Sumner Redstone is its founder, Viacom Group. And they are so in bed with the communist Chinese, it'll make your head spin. So now when they go, look at these dumbass nationalist Americans, Alex Jones, he says China isn't real. A, that's a lie. You think that little candy-ass host that reads off teleprompters knows their demographics, their numbers, about the Qin dynasty, their wars against Japan, the history of what happened in South Korea, all the different angles about Chiang Kai-shek, the nationalist, how the CIA put Mao in, all the different white papers written about how the CIA supported. No, they don't know any of that. I know so much on China, it makes my head hurt. But see, we can get a skinny, slender, you know, guy with a psychopath physique, and he can sit there and wolf-like tell you that Alex Jones doesn't know anything. That Alex Jones says China isn't real. And they call it the opposition. And they've got a term here about mental nationalism. Well, if you don't have nationalism and your own interest at heart, you're called a slave. But see, they invent these new words. The media acts like they're great linguists, but they have giant teams of hundreds poring over this crap they put out. It's not even funny. They all hail it as God, and they spew all this bull. It's all coming up today. Congressman Ron Paul on a plan to stop the North Korean crisis. That's on InfoWars.com as well, but we're not intellectual like you. No.
Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
This message is transmitted at the request of the President of the United States of America and the Office of Homeland Security. In compliance with the United Nations, the President of the United States has declared martial law. Curfew is now in place. Return to your homes. Any congregating of two or more people outside of your homes will result in you being arrested on site.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. It's the Alex Jones Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are here broadcasting worldwide. I am your host, Alex Jones. And we're here Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. We also have the Real News with David Knight. That is weekday mornings from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. when I go live. And then right after we end at 3 p.m. Central, you have Owen Schroyer and, of course, the great War Room as we battle for the Republic against the globalists. Roger Stone gave us his exclusive last night video and the text of his testimony to Congress behind closed doors today on the Russiagate situation. As soon as he comes out today, I'll have a live video press conference that will be happening, that will be fed on InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. DrudgeReport.com is linked to the exclusive video testimony and the exclusive text at DrudgeReport.com as well. So we'll give you more on that as it unfolds. More on North Korea, more on the NFL. But this NFL thing is absolutely gigantic. Because they're trying to break our will. And they're trying to say in your own country, your flag's racist, your nation's bad. And then once you learn to bow, quite literally bowing to Zod, Superman, bow to Zod. That's not just in fiction, that's in the real world. Once you show your subservience to George Soros and their psychological warfare combine, where they've used cultural differences to bring down the Middle East, to bring down Eastern Europe, to bring down countless nations and peoples. They're now doing it here, and it's in the WikiLeaks that they're using culture war to carry that out. And we've got the Republican establishment that is involved in it as well. We're going to get to that in a moment. The very powerful words of Stephen Bannon. But know this, globalism is a consortium of other nations and megacorporations empowered by slave labor via China to dominate and take control of the nation state of America and to culturally and economically deindustrialize us and break our will. And whether it's Viacom, or whether it's News Corp, or whether it's Time Warner. There's only six big movie houses owned by five big companies that have 95% of mainstream media control, and they are all now chiefly financed by the communist Chinese because they're going bankrupt. First, they sell the country out. First, they impoverish the nation. Then they make all their major films China-centric and communist-supportive. And now we see Bill Maher, HBO. We see all these Hollywood stars saying, we like Kim Jong-un, we hate Trump, trade leaders with us. That's very sick and very evil, even if you hate Trump. But that's how far they've gone in the financing of Hollywood by communist China. And when you look at Viacom and Comedy Central that it owns, and you look at how all their major programs attack yours truly and the president and others and misrepresent what we say and take it out of context to demonize us and tell us that they're the resistance. Yeah, they're the globalist resistance to America. And they are against this country, just like the NFL is. They are disgusting, and they've all got to be cut off. They've got to be fully bankrupted. And they're jokes. And they know that they're bought and paid for. They're consciously against this country. And that's why every major movie you see that's based in science fiction or based in modern affairs or based in military activity, the communist Chinese come in and save America. Hell, the director of the Transformers is coming out with a movie that's based on Escape from New York, where the communist Chinese join with the U.S. military in a coup to remove Trump. I mean, this is naked. And all you need to know about the opposition is they're the establishment, and that Comedy Central is the opposition to America. And they are the opposition to the resistance. And when they put up stuff like China isn't real and stuff like that, it's like Lloyd Blankfein coming out a few months ago when Trump had Infrastructure Week and said, how's that going for you, Trump? Knowing Congress was blocking it and saying, I just got back from China. We're moving our main operations. It's incredible. Yeah, and the slave plants are great, and the suicide nets are great, and the forced abortion is great, and the organ harvesting of Christians and Buddhists is great. But it doesn't matter because you're Lloyd Blankfein, and you've got this sick thing about somebody was rude to your grandpa in New York once when he got off a boat or something. So you think if you just destroy America and hate America that somehow it's going to empower you, even though you are America, Lloyd Blankfein. And the media thinks it's cute in CNBC. Oh, look how he trolled the president and talked about how pathetic we are. Yay! Let's all get on the traitor bandwagon. We're going to break all this down, and I'm going to get back into the Harry Caray, the seppuku, the suicide for all the linguists over there at Viacom that are so delicate geniuses and so smart and teach us how conservatives are low-information voters. When I've been out to your crowds, they're the dumbest, ugliest, stupidest people I've ever seen in the Democratic Party. I mean, they're sad. I feel sorry for them. They look like they got hit by a mental retardation beam. And like they've been drinking fluoride. Oh, I guess they have, which CNN now has to admit causes mutation, brain damage, everything else. Entire Dallas Cowboy team takes a knee, gets booed. Flashback, NFL denied Cowboys request to honor cops slain in Dallas. CNN, MSNBC, slave master Trump wants race war, wishes blacks were kneeling in the cotton fields again. Well, that's all made up, but I do know what's happening. Whites all over the place are getting killed, and a lot of poor immigrants from Eastern Europe that are white are moving into black areas, and every couple of days they get shot or hit over the head with a hammer or killed, and people say, I killed them because they're white. Black Lives Matter, as if Eastern Europeans had anything ever to do with the slave trade. You look at Arabs, almost all Arabs' lineage were involved in the slave trade. That's all they had there in the desert was slave trading and controlling of the different trade routes, the Silk Routes and others. That's what Mecca was. It was a big slave bazaar. Maybe 2% of Americans that were here before 1868 had slaves, 2%. Most whites come from sharecroppers that were slaves. There was indentured servitude in Europe, the same thing, serfdom, feudalism. Look it up for all the big linguists over at Viacom. Oh, they know what it is. They're not going to tell you about it. We are. And they sit there totally cold-bloodedly knowing what they're doing. And, oh, notice you're not going to hear any more in the news now because it happened 2 days ago. A black guy, racist black Muslim that we brought into our country and gave everything. Not even working a job, big old swole up roid head on a narcissistic power trip of himself, went and killed some whites, went and found some whites, and too bad one of them had a gun and, you know, shot back. He could have killed more people. But you know, enjoy the Supermax prison you're going to there. You'll probably get released, though. It's all cute. It's all fun. You're not going to hear anything about him. You're not going to hear any whites bitching either. And, like, blaming all blacks for it. Jesse Jackson, Trump's NFL statement show, slave master, servant mentality. NBA coach, white people had to be made to feel uncomfortable. Another virtue signaling idiot of the Spurs. Tennessee church shooter admits to crime as bizarre Facebook post surfaces. But again, that's okay. You're not going to hear anything about those guys. You're not going to hear any virtue signaling about that because that's a white devil. That's a bunch of white devils that got shot and killed. Oh, but don't worry. In Berkeley, they allowed the March Against White Supremacy to happen. Nobody attacked that because it was the Antifa scum and the faculty having their march. But they banned Milo and everybody else and then physically attacked my reporters, who I didn't order to go. They wanted to go. Millie Weaver and Gavin Wentz. And then they broke into her car and ransacked it and tore up our equipment. There's video of that up on InfoWars.com. But that's okay. You don't have a right to have speech. And then when we catch you filming us in our speeches, we're going to follow back to your car and rob it and tear it up. And then we're going to attack women. But that, because see, they're the heroes fighting Hitler, so it's okay. It's fun. It's a bunch of wimps that just live here in the country and direct violence and then say, I just came and shot your church up. I just came and beat up a woman. I just came and shut down your free speech. I just robbed your car. I just shot a cop in the back. And you know what? You're the bad person. Now kiss my ass and get on your knees before me while I piss in your face. And they've got the NFL player, we can show it, hiking his leg and acting like he pee-peed. Oh, he didn't get fined for that, though. Because, you know, you work for the team. You're not allowed to have your own speech on the field. Not allowed to flip folks off or whatever. But, oh, you can practice peeing on the president and then later say, no, I'm practicing pissing on the president. That's what it is. It's peeing, right? It's dominating you. We're only paid $20 million a year. I hate this country. Because Viacom told me to. Sumner Redstone told me to. Yeah, well, old Sumner Redstone got locked up by his family and is hanging on by his fingernails right now like he did off that balcony in that fire. But he's not going to be able to hold on forever. Oh, no. And the devil, his God, is waiting with a big open mouth. Just whoa, right there for you, Sumner, and all the rest of the scum at Viacom. We're going to do some big reports on the Chinese money going into Viacom, the communist state-run money going into Viacom. And that story's up on News Wars, peeing in America's face. InfoWars reporter car vandalized. That's okay. They deserve it. Violent crime rises in U.S. in Democratic cities. 2 years running. Oh, yeah, actually getting killed by black on black 90-plus percent of the time, but that's okay. Most of the blacks are getting aborted. That's all right with the liberals because they're there to enslave them and everybody else. And the racial attacks on whites only intensifies every day, and it just gets in the back of the paper. They usually won't even say who did it. But first, let me get into this right now. Bannon warns GOP establishment, your day of reckoning is coming. And I'm really proud of Bannon trying to keep Trump on the straight and narrow. And being run out by the generals and others. And he really is supporting the right folks. He really is supporting good, real Tea Party, libertarian Americana, what you call yellow dog Democrat type folks as well, just people that aren't out to get the country. And you've got this whole race going on in Alabama. And he just leveled his political guns right on the people around the president. He said the president's a great guy, but he got misinformed about who to back. And now it's an example of a fight over the heart and soul of the Republican Party of who wins this runoff election, this primary Republican election. And here are some of these powerful clips from Bannon. First, let's get to this clip. Bannon on NFL protest. They should take a knee every night and thank God Donald Trump's president. Because even though he disagrees with some of what Trump's doing, just like Senator Paul said on this show a few months ago, and just like his father, I guarantee he'll say next hour, we ought to thank God every day we got Trump in, because Hillary would have been even worse on war and the economy and so many other issues. But here's Bannon on NFL protest.
You know, about taking a knee for the national anthem, I said in this speech tonight, if people in this country take a knee and the National Football League players want to take a knee, they should take a knee at night, every night, and thank God in heaven Donald J. Trump is president of the United States. He has saved this country so much grief. He has done such a tremendous job with virtually no help. And that's what I meant when I said that. I stepped out to make sure that Mitch McConnell and the Republican establishment starts to have a Republican back, because you know what? Mitch McConnell wouldn't be majority leader if Donald Trump didn't drag a half a dozen senators across the goal line in November. So it's time for the Republican establishment to step up and have the back of President Trump.
Steve Bannon's the real deal. Blue-collar Democrat, union family, whole nine yards, and he understands the scam against all working people. And if you want real prosperity, folks, just let the Bannon plan get delivered. It's classic Americana, JFK program. And that's why the globalists are pissed, man. They think this country's theirs. The communist Chinese have bought controlling interest in all five major mega companies and all six subsidiary movie production houses, studios. I mean, that's how far gone we are, folks. Every episode of these Comedy Central shows have some Chinese communist worship piece. So those dictators over there that keep Christians in cages and sell their organs and have factories with suicide nets around them can sit there and feel powerful. And so these media outlets get access to the Chinese communist market. Can you imagine what sellout scum these people are? They're all a bunch of failed comedians and actors that read off teleprompters that enemies of this country fill. Nobody's... Give them a document cam shot around the room. Give them a shot. There's no script here. Only the truth and red, white, and blue, and taking it to the enemy. And we're going to win. Stephen Bannon, the GOP elite, represented by Mitch McConnell, hold me in contempt. I swear their contempt as a badge of honor. Absolutely. I love that fact. It's incredible. It's a badge of honor. Let's go to that next clip.
The Republican, the elites represented by Mitch McConnell, right? Hold me in contempt, right? They think I'm a bad guy. They think I'm a dangerous guy. I wear their contempt as a badge of honor, okay? They have helped destroy this country. They have done nothing but allow economic hate crimes against the working men and women in the heartland of this country. The factories went to China and the drugs came in, okay? We've got to stop it. Tomorrow in Alabama, the good folks in Alabama got a choice. This is Jeff Sessions' seat, Sean. You know how close I am to Jeff Sessions. I know how close you are to Jeff Sessions. Jeff Sessions has been our mentor. Jeff Sessions is a man with a pure heart and tough as boot leather. This seat is Jeff Sessions' seat.
Just look at Bannon's eyes, but also watch his actions. It's just straightforward. It's the truth. You look at all the Politico weasels in both parties. They're mentally ill. They care about what the fake system thinks. They have no integrity. They have no moral compass. They have no rudder. They have no North Star. They have no God, but just self-aggrandizement. And then that does not fulfill. It just drives you deeper into the mental illness. Bannon at Roy Moore rally, we're going to give you that. Stephen Bannon smacks around the swamp at the rally. Those clips are coming up. And then former Congressman Ron Paul, the latest on North Korea and how to hopefully stop World War III. This is the InfoWar. Please spread the word. We are back live. Paul Ryan has announced a plan to try to raise taxes. They know that'll kill the economy. That's their goal. That's why they wrote Obamacare. Yeah, the Republicans wrote it. The Democrats love it because they love being schmucks, being screwed over by the bipartisan criminals. In other news, flashback, Trump warns parents to watch out for pervert wiener, says keep your young daughters away from him. He's a pervert. Of course, he's convicted of that now. Trump said it back in 2012. What do you think Trump's talking about? He also tweeted about pedophile rings and said they should all be executed. And they are being arrested at record levels. So then I've seen articles in Time Magazine, Newsweek, AOL, saying, oh, no, it's a myth. That's a talking point. There aren't pedophile rings being busted. It doesn't exist. Yeah, like the Deputy Pope and Senator Menendez and all the rest of it. You people are crazy. You are something else, man. Wow. Can you imagine working for Comedy Central and posing as a news reporter when you're really a comic and then reading off a teleprompter and defending this? What a bunch of desperate losers. So that's all coming up as well. But yeah, Republicans to raise taxes. Consumer confidence falls. New home sales hit 8-month low. And you know, they were trying to get consumer confidence up, did get some of the new jobs up, but didn't get the stock market up. But if they can just hold those tax cuts up a little bit longer and keep Obamacare in a little bit longer, they can get you and make you real poor and have to live off handouts. And boy, isn't that sad? Because they know if we got an open free market, you'll vote for what you want, which is freedom, and then they won't be in charge. See, too bad, isn't it? Just too bad. Intellectually, we're breaking with them. And so the NFL and all of them can go bankrupt with us as well. How's that sound? And Hollywood and Viacom and all the rest of you people. You are all living off laundered money. You're all living off a bunch of Ponzi schemes that make Bernie Madoff look like a choir boy. And it's all going to come down, scum. And everybody knows you're the establishment. Nice bait and switch. We are the resistance. If you're watching this transmission or listening to it, you are the resistance, not Viacom, the biggest media company in the world. Dedicated every day to lying about yours truly. A badge of unbelievable honor. But when I see your mind control slaves, the ones in the street that try to attack me, who repeat the things that are on Colbert's show and all these other programs, that's why I said they've been put into a mentally retarded state. And I mean that. It's very sad. Now, if you want to break with these people, and if you want to go up against them, and if you want to absolutely break their will, you financially support us. That's the big Comedy Central attack, is that we have money to fund ourselves. We sell things. Oh, my God. We're not Viacom trying to sexualize kids at age 4. Admittedly, at Nickelodeon, I'm sorry, we're not the Nickelodeon pedophile channel or whatever it is, the sexualization channel. And you can fund us and get high-quality things you need, like water filtration that's discounted today, 20%, to not drink the fluoride, which CNN now admits causing massive brain damage. You can get high-quality supplements like X2. You can get high-quality products. You can get high-quality shirts like CNN's fake news to spread the word and exercise free speech. You can get 40% off our great, pure, organic, highest rated by even outside labs that hate our guts. Highest rated even by BuzzFeed. Which we have the highest rated. They tested it. Highest rated B12 that their lab test. They hated that. They inadvertently had to admit it, though. They were like, yes, it's pure B12 and... yeah, well, man, but here's the best, this lab says, and happens to be who we private label from. So anyways, break their will. Spread the links. Spread the articles. Pray for InfoWars. And buy the products. InfoWarsStore.com, InfoWarsLife.com, or 888-253-3139. We also just launched a bunch of great private labeled essential oils for 25% off what they are in stores. InfoWarsStore.com. Finance the resistance. Finance the rebellion. Finance the victory. Stay with us.
Visit GCNLive.com today.
Take you live
now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center in the heart of the resistance. It's Alex Jones.
Oh, in the heart of the resistance. I've had that particular liner right there for like 10 years. Oh, but I'm being told by Comedy Central and Sumner Redstone and Viacom that they are the resistance and I am the opposition. Yes, I'm in opposition to the globalists colonizing this country, making us poor, telling Africans they can't have electricity or cars or air conditioning. Yeah, I'm in opposition to 51% of blacks never being born. Or Chicago, 95% of the deaths, black-on-black crime. I'm in opposition of you, the establishment, claiming that you're the resistance. Yeah, you're the resistance to freedom. You're the suffocating force of pseudo-intellectual trash financed by the big remnants of the robber baron combine constellation allied with the Chi-Coms, destined to fail because we're now aware of your operation. So everything you do only leads quicker to your own destruction. See, you know it's not a bluff. I'm promoting Americana. 57 Chevys in Marilyn Monroe and rockets to the moon. I'm promoting Americana victory. You're promoting Protest Nation. Look at Drudge Report. Another congresswoman takes a knee because she's only got tens of millions of dollars and bitches and spews her anti-white racism. Sheila Jackson Lee kneels, but it gets better. I've got a clip here. I'm going to get back into Stephen Bannon and more after Ron Paul leaves. He's coming on the next segment. Sheila Jackson Lee kneels on the House floor in support of NFL players. Yeah, on your knees to Soros and his destabilization program. I love it. Dallas Cowboys, no longer America's team. They're a disgusting exercise of being bullied by Soros. That's all coming up. But if you look at the Protest Nation, we've now got good old crazy Maxine Waters up to her usual tricks. And that's another clip that I'm going to be getting to coming up where Maxine Waters goes next level. But right now, let's go back to the Bannon clips. Bannon at Roy Moore rally in Alabama. They talk about hate speech. Let's talk about economic hate crimes that's been working men and women of this country. That's powerful. That talking point's the truth. Here it is.
They talk about hate speech. Let's talk about economic hate crimes that have been done on the working men and women in this country. They've gutted this country. They've gutted in manufacturing jobs and shipped them overseas. You know what for? For profit. You think this opioid crisis just came about? There's a direct correlation between the factories and jobs that were shipped to China and the workers left behind with total despair.
That's right. It's political control. Strategic military operation. Now, here's Mad Maxine. Impeach Trump over NFL kneelers. She's gone completely insane. Doesn't even make any sense. She says, we'll just hear it from her. Here it is.
He's pointing now to the NFL. We know that the majority of these players are African Americans, and we know what he is doing. We're not tricked or fooled by him in any shape, form, or fashion. And someone said, how is it he can never criticize Putin or the Kremlin or Charlottesville and those KKK, nationalists, supremacists, etc.? And here he is, strongly criticizing, you know, football players and NFL players. Yeah. And so it's clear. We know who he is. He's defined himself. What are we going to do about it? Yeah. I know we're not talking about Russia and collusion today, and we're not talking about obstruction of justice, but I hope people understand it's about all of this that he should not be the president of the United States of America, and we got to get ready for impeachment.
And you know what?
So there you go. All of that is a lie. All he's done is criticize Russia when Russia's done nothing. He's been bullied into that. All he's done is talk about Charlottesville ad nauseum. All lies out of that pig's mouth. And of course he got a bunch of spoiled, rotten, racist black players. Of course he's talking about them.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war. We'll be right back.
Friday, the North Korean communist dictatorship's diplomat canceled his speech at the UN, which was unheard of, and then came back Saturday. And, why not just hear it directly from him, what he said?
He tried to insult the supreme dignity of my country by referring it to a rocket. By doing so, however, he committed an irreversible mistake of making our rocket's visit to the entire U.S. mainland inevitable all the more, in case innocent lives of the U.S. are harmed because of this suicide attack, Trump will be held totally responsible. What else could be a bigger threat than the violent remarks such as pouring fire and fury, total destruction, coming from the top authority of the world's biggest nuclear power?
Okay. Congressman, former congressman, medical doctor, Air Force veteran, Ron Paul was against the Iraq wars. He was against the Afghanistan operations. He's been against all of it. He's been proven right. His son, and of course himself still in Congress, spearheaded exposing the fact that the West had backed Al-Qaeda and then ISIS later. And then Trump rightfully picked up that gauntlet and took the baton forward and has helped clean up a lot of ISIS and kicked him out of Syria to a great extent. Now would be the time to come home. Instead, the neocons and others want to go into Syria and kick out Assad himself. Ron Paul has written extensively on that. So has the Von Mises Institute and the Ron Paul Institute. The story's posted on NewsWars.com and InfoWars.com. Ron Paul, how to end the Korea crisis. Kim joins Saddam, Gaddafi, Assad on a list of madmen, says Paul. This is a complex issue, but he's got a very well-researched angle on it, so I want to get his take. Thank you for joining us during this critical time.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Now, there's a delay today with our connection to you in Houston, but that's okay. Again, just so folks know. Dr. Paul, let's get into your plan to avert, which could happen any time, causing a huge nuclear war.
Well, the sooner we get out of there, the better. You know, we went into Korea when I was in high school, and it was totally illegal, unconstitutional. It was done without the permission of the people. It was done within a week after the Civil War broke out in Korea. And some of my teachers never came home. And ever since that time, I've been saying, why are we there? What should we be there? During all my campaigning, especially the presidential campaigns, I said, just come home. We've spent $1 trillion over there, you know, keeping them together. And look at what's happened in Vietnam. We finally lost in Vietnam after 60,000 Americans get killed, and now we get along with them. We don't need to be there. We're just trying to provoke a problem. And this guy's nuts over there, so why provoke him? We are acting from a sense of insecurity that we have to say, you know, we're tough. Don't mess with us or we'll bomb you. But that to me is just sort of childish. So the sooner we get out of there, the better. We've been there way too long. And, you know, this whole idea, the stage is set now that, you know, the Koreans are threatening. Well, we might shoot down an airplane. Well, what if there's now that stage is set, it's progressing because of our involvement. Somebody's going to use a false flag and somebody's going to shoot down the airplane just so that this war gets started. So that's why I believe in non-intervention. We ought to defend this country, but it's time to come home from Korea. We've lost too many lives. We killed, even when we got involved in that civil war, you know, with the North and the South, we bombed the North to smithereens. We killed 30% of their population, and they had never attacked us. We never declared war. We went there under UN banner. We have an insane foreign policy, and unfortunately, it really hasn't changed that much with our new president.
Dr. Ron Paul is our guest. We're talking about the North Korea situation, and obviously, they're now sending bombers over the DMZ, big provocations. We know a lot of Ukrainian missiles that give them ICBM capability have been shipped in, smuggled into the North. And when you talk about a false flag, how do we know some major arms manufacturer or some other country doesn't smuggle a missile in, like we saw in Ukraine, shoot down one of our bombers or try to shoot it down, and then suddenly We're into a kinetic action. A war starts. The North then attacks the South, Seoul, with 100,000 pieces of artillery. They've been threatening to detonate a hydrogen bomb above ground to attack Tokyo. We could very quickly get into a large nuclear war. And a lot of people say, well, we can easily defeat North Korea. Well, of course we can. But what happens if China or Russia gets involved, Dr. Paul?
Well, if they will get involved. And, you know, when it started way back in the 50s, we thought, well, we'll take care of this. And a month after the war broke out, you know, we essentially won the war. And then we moved up and decided, well, we'll occupy North Korea, went up to the border, and then the Chinese came in. Sure, they're going to be involved. But I think you just made the case for why we need to be out of there, because, you know, the North Korea, the guy is goofy. But I tell you what, he does know what he's doing, because he has to threaten, because he believes that if he gives up and capitulates and does exactly what we tell him to do, that what will happen, like what happened to Saddam Hussein, what happened to Gaddafi, and then how do we treat you know, Assad in Syria? We have an empire to defend. We run the world, and it's wrong. It doesn't work. Millions of people have died over this, and it's time we as a people woke up and say, we ought to mind our own business. We ought to come home and defend this country. We don't need to be worrying about, you know, battleships and bombers and flying back and showing that we have strength. They're weapons that were used in World War II. And this guy who runs North Korea, he's not going to invade the United States. He's not going to launch a missile. Just remember the whole thing. Dealing with Iraq, about all the danger, great danger, and the propagandists, the deep state, the media, convinced the American people that Saddam Hussein was a danger. They're doing the same thing now with North Korea. And that's why we ought to wise up and just not buy into this, and look at this as a constitutional issue, and not to say, well, we need to go to war with this guy. And unfortunately, we're marching that way. But we better look at ourselves, too. And why are we involved in 120 different countries with our military personnel? And why are we always looking for trouble? And I would say that it's very, very dangerous. But just to say, well, it was always Saddam Hussein's fault. It was always Gaddafi's fault. It's always Assad's fault. And then turn around and say, oh, yeah, but look at Russia. Look at what they're going to do. I mean, it is the neocon foreign policy that we have been following. We still follow the neocon foreign policy. I think that's tragic.
That said, I agree with you in practice and function. But even people like Joel Skousen, that was agreed with you about not having a war, you know, in the last five or six, saying they were frauds. He says when you get down to North Korea now, they do have nuclear weapons. They are being backed by China. They are a real threat. They are firing missiles right over Japan. They can test weapons, but doing it in this way, threatening preemptively to blow up the U.S. to say it's inevitable, that's pointing a gun at us and really next-level bravado. It's incredible chicken. And then you have the Clintons, as you know, transferring the reactors, transferring the missiles in the mid-90s that you and others criticized when you first got back into Congress. And so there's a lot of blame going around here. And then you just have the horrible little communist third-generation dictator fat off the blood of his little skinny citizens. I agree with you, the poor, you know, Korean, North Korean slaves and their children. I feel sorry for them. I don't want to have to, you know, nuke the DMZ. But if they do strike us first, I think they may be crazy enough to do it. Then it's going to take a major commitment to make sure they can't counter respond. Dr. Paul?
You're buying into all the garbage that's passed out there by the deep state and neoconservatives and the media. My suggestion very clearly on what we should do is we should allow the South Koreans to talk to the North Koreans. What's wrong with that? They're the ones that have everything at stake. And we don't even allow them to do that. And and yet they're willing to. Just last week, the South Koreans, in an effort to break this conflict, they sent a couple million dollars to North Korea to take care of some of the people, the kids that are suffering from our sanctions. The people suffer. We kill people. We killed almost 1 million Iraqis with our sanctions before we went to war. And all these sanctions do is just provoke the bitterness. We need to get allowed. Why do we prohibit the South Koreans from talking to the North Koreans?
By the way, Madeleine Albright.
We did that in Vietnam. And the French and Americans did that in millions of...
Sure, sure. I mean, it's like Madeleine Albright said, 500,000 Iraqi children is a good price to pay with the sanctions. It's probably way over 1 million. Lancet, British Medical Journal, said it was like 1.3 back in like 2007, going back to 1990. And understand, Dr. Paul, I'm just wargaming both sides of the debate. I've not bought in to the garbage that we need to have a war or that sanctions are always the best thing. As you said, Vietnam now loves us, hates communist China, is becoming a free market powerhouse, and we should have made a deal with Ho Chi Minh to go in there and be free market to begin with, but we double-crossed him, tried to overthrow him, as you know, back in 1960. So I understand the history of it, as you do as a former Air Force officer. The only thing I'm getting at here is that we can certainly recognize communist regimes are also horrible evils. Just because we have neocon problems here, I mean, certainly this is a great example of how communism is a horrible nightmare like Venezuela. Let's skip this break. Go ahead, Dr. Paul.
Well, I still think that you're seeing them as a much greater threat. And when I was drafted in 1962 over the Cuban crisis, you know, there was a real hot Cold War going on at the time. But we had danger then. The Soviets had 30,000 nuclear missiles and weapons. But we didn't provoke or think or thought we had to get rid of them. We actually dealt with them. Kennedy talked to them and, you know, got rid of that crisis we had in Cuba. That North Korea, they don't have this capability. It's not China is not it is not interested and not in their interest to allow this guy to provoke and get into a war with us. So that isn't quite accurate to say that they're in cahoots with China and they have nuclear bombs and all this sort of thing. And I think that we should allow South Korea to start having negotiations. Let China and Russia, they're involved more. They should be more involved than us. Let them monitor the
sure,
talk.
Sure, Dr. Paul.
But why are we 6,000-7,000 miles away? Once again, we've been involved in a civil war that's been going on endlessly. It's time we stopped it.
Let's be clear. I agree with you. I have four children. You've got a bunch of children. You've got a bunch of grandchildren and great-grandchildren, I'm told now. And I absolutely... do not want us to have a nuclear war. I do not want this to happen. I understand that what you're saying is historically true. I'm simply pointing out that President Trump has been right on so many other issues. And I understand that it looks like there's been an escalation. He believes that the strategic appeasement, the strategic patience has run out, and that he's looking for some other way to get North Korea to come to the bargaining table. Hell, months ago, Rex Tillerson was saying, let's have talks, stop this rhetoric, and it only seemed to encourage Kim Jong-un. So I understand you can say we're ganging up on North Korea, and the people hurt are the poor folks in it. That's true. I'm not saying you're wrong. But what about the dictators? What about the horrible, evil leaders of the nation? What are we supposed to do about them? What do we do?
Well, you're speaking for the neoconservatives. That's their line of talk of why we have to do this. And I'm just arguing it's totally unnecessary. It didn't work. You admit it didn't work in Vietnam, and we should have done that differently, and we're friends with them. We win more in peace than we do in war, but we've been in Korea. This whole thing is just based on a lot of misconceptions. I think our administration has accepted neocon lies, and they're going with it. But
I agree with you.
Get into trouble because of the diplomacy and the tone and all this.
And I agree with you. So in just a minute or two, because I have a few other questions dealing with the economy and what's happening with all this NFL race baiting and the rest of the culture wars. What is your advice to President Trump? What is your advice to the president?
Bring the troops home. I would advise him just what my position has been for years. Get out of interventionism. Bring the troops home. Get out of all this, me. Get out of out of Syria, out of Iraq, the whole works. You know, start dismantling our empire. Get all our troops out of Korea and allow people to settle their own dispute, but not to join this neocon effort to continue to run the world and distort the truth because they love the wars in the Middle East. And now the neocons are behind all this activity, why we have this great enemy, the North Koreans. I think when we get so upset about that we're insecure, we act like a bunch of bullies, we're insecure, we don't know how to react and say, oh, they're coming, they're going to come us and they're going to bomb us. Alex, that is not true. And the Chinese aren't on that side of that issue at all. They are holding him back, if nothing else, because they have too much to lose. They don't want any more war in North Korea than we do. So I don't really think it's right to say this guy in North Korea is going to, because he's aligned with the Chinese, that they're going to help him, you know, provoke a war with the United States.
Just to be clear, their main trading partner is the Chinese. I'd love to see the two countries unified in this nightmare end. I'm not going with that line. I'm looking at both the lines of reasoning here just to play devil's advocate. I overall agree with you and hope that's the way this goes. But they do say they have hydrogen bombs. It is believed they have them. They're saying they'll preemptively use them. So they're putting out horrible rhetoric as well. I get your point that they need to look strong. They saw what happened to Iraq and other countries that didn't have nuclear weapons. They look at, Iran looks at that. So moving away from that, because I think we actually agree on that subject, and I pray everything turns out all right. We've got your article posted on Infowars.com promoting that. Getting into the NFL thing, we have the WikiLeaks. It's George Soros saying, let's go to culture war, even during the campaign, promote racial division. You have had a black president. You've got all these millionaire football players. People are tuning out of the NFL in droves, and they're only accelerating it as we see more and more wound up attacks on white churches. Whites are being killed in hate crimes. And it's so fashionable to be anti-white. And if you point that out, all this anti-white racism, they call us racist when everybody knows you and I and others have been calling for unity and, you know, really bringing the country together. What is all this about? Where do you see this going? What's going to end up happening, Dr. Paul?
Well, I think it is part of this cultural Marxism, and, you know, attacking tradition and culture is part of their tool. But when you narrow it down to the demonstrations on the football field, actually the answers are coming back pretty fast. People are disgusted with it, and they're disgusted with the football players. They're disgusted with the owners. They're starting to boycott. And I think that is very good. I just think the president ought to just, you know, be a lot less noisy about it, you know, threatening people, you know, that they're committing some crime. No, this can all be solved with a libertarian understanding of property. What those ball players do is determined by the owners, just as it would be in your studio or in your house or in my house. It's the ownership. So it has nothing to do with government and freedom of speech. It has nothing to do with the First Amendment, but it has a lot to do with what the cultural Marxists is trying to do. But the people who condone this and encourage it and expand this with the kneeling business, I think that's dangerous. But it's a reflection of the ownership. They can be stopped immediately by just the owner saying, no more. That is it. But if they condone it, you can't write a law and you can't intimidate. You can't say that's their right under the First Amendment. No, it has nothing to do with the First Amendment.
I totally agree with you.
It has to do with what the owners are going to do with their property, and the market will answer.
No, I agree. Trump's gone too far when he talks about having a rule. It's his right to come out and say he thinks they're, you know, idiots or whatever. But when he goes further, he then starts encroaching on free speech. I mean, I think a lot of it's figurative, but then how do the owners not let them do celebrations in the end zone, even though they're hiking their leg, peeing on the president symbolically? How can they fine them for that, but not fine them if they don't stand for the Star Spangled Banner? And I get it's free speech. You shouldn't have to stand. My point is there's this open globalist attack on America now, and that's why I'm simply saying I have my free speech to say I am going to boycott the NFL forever. What do you think, Dr. Paul?
That's the That's the answer. That's the answer. Boycott them. And if the owners want to act like jerks and prohibit one sort of expression of a political opinion and not the other one, then they just dig a bigger hole for themselves. And I, you know, the other thing about this, I need to get this in if possible. You know, a lot of this got worse once the football team started taking money from the government to promote this super nationalism and militarism, because all of that military stuff, they get a lot of money, but that's to support the interventionist foreign policy and the military, and the military can do no wrong. It's support for the empire. That is where the problem is. And the American people should absolutely not allow our government to give one cent to the football and advertise there to promote the militarism of our government.
We only have 45 seconds real quick on the economy. If we don't get the tax cuts, Paul Ryan wants taxes to be raised now. If we keep Obamacare, most analysts say that will cause a new recession or depression and cause that big implosion you've been warning of. 30 seconds on that, Dr. Paul. Final comments, Dr. Paul.
Well, it looks bad. I sure hope they can get the tax cut through. If they blow that, then we're really in trouble. But it's not unusual to develop, some of these welfare programs. It's almost impossible to stop them. And hopefully, though, we can compensate Trump. If I had to look for one thing, he has set an atmosphere where there'll be less regulation. If he can get a tax cut through, that will be helpful.
But yes, sir. Thank you, Dr. Paul. Thank you for all your time.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Roger Stone, just talked to the House Intelligence Committee.
We had a very spirited exchange. I had the opportunity to correct the record with Congressman Schiff and Congresswoman Spear, as well as Congressman Swalwell. They conducted themselves in a polite and collegial way, but they continue to insist that the Russians hacked the DNC. They actively disputed the notion published in The Nation. Now, this is very key, because here is the takeaway. The FBI director, Mr. Comey, and the Secretary of Homeland Security, Mr. Johnson, both testified for this committee that the DNC did not allow the FBI to examine their servers. Mr. Schiff intimated today that that was not the case and claimed that the DNC servers had been turned over to the FBI. We've got to get to the bottom of that. Infowars.com is the first place on the planet where you can learn that factoid.
Did the name Seth Rich come up at all?
It did not.
Okay.
That is the
news. All right, ladies and gentlemen, and we're joined by Roger Stone live right now. We have the entire press conference unedited being uploaded right now. It was in the basement, so we couldn't get our wireless transmission out. National television had some of the excerpts and some of it live, but we're going to give you all of that, plus the exclusive transcript of his testimony and the exclusive video of him reading the transcript before he went in. So that is all exclusive on DrudgeReport.com, via Infowars.com, and NewsWars.com. But the whole Russia investigation is now officially imploded. They have now officially said that I'm not under investigation and am not connected to Russia. They've come out and admitted that Drudge wasn't involved and shot down Democrats' further calls for criminal investigations. What it is bullying, saying Alex Jones didn't kick our butt. Donald Trump didn't kick our butt politically in the arena of ideas. No, the Russians did it. You had the whole Hollywood system, everything but the kitchen sink, thrown at the American resurgence movement. That's the opposite of racist. It's free market. It's beautiful. It's bold. And they failed. So they want to bring in authoritarianism, claiming we're the outside force, when they're the globalist protesting the flag, trying to overthrow our borders and get rid of our sovereignty. They're the foreign power. They're the multinationals. They're the enemy. They're the establishment. They're the opposition to us, the resistance. And they love playing games with words and trying to tell you they control words and control meaning. We're not under your cult anymore. And it's not because we're scared of your big fancy words. You don't even know those words. You read off teleprompters. We are the future. We are the cutting edge. We are Americana. We are the Renaissance. We're the real liberals, not you. You want to use those terms. That's why they want to get rid of Thomas Jefferson, because it was the revolutionary idea that he didn't realize in his lifetime, but was realized later. It's called being a visionary. Now, joining us is Roger Stone. Then I'm going to get into these incredible NFL clips, the booing of the Cowboys, all of it. As Ron Paul just said, boycott's the answer. It's cultural Marxist Saul Alinsky horse crap. And it is blowing up in their stinking faces. So get that video out. We're going to get that out in the next 30 minutes to InfoWars.com as well, because this is not a spectator sport, the fight against the globalists. This is information warfare. And our weapon is the truth. Our credibility is the truth. And that's why they attack it, because they know we told you about the NSA spy grid first. They know that we told you about how Trump was way ahead in the polls first. And we told you he'd win. And we told you everything, because it's all there. We told you the communist Chinese fund Viacom and Communist Central. You can watch it and see all the commie worship. Coming up, Alex Jones doesn't like China, but we do. Because you know we get down on our knees every day in front of the communist dictators. And you know what we do, don't you? Yes, you know, don't we? What trash? What idiots? You're going to be just like the NFL. I love it. So twist all you want, just like Megyn Kelly had the worst ratings ever for the new show she took over. All the critics say she bombed. The new Comedy Central show bombed. And a lot of folks at Comedy Central behind the scenes said, be nice. You know, come on. This is years ago. Play ball with us. And I said, I don't want to play ball with you. I don't want to come on and act stupid and play into your part so I can be a court jester, geek, clown, you know, like poor midgets on Howard Stern. That's not who I am. I want to destroy you because you want to destroy us and America. You understand that? We're never going to stop. We're never going to give in. We're never going to back down. We understand it. We don't read off teleprompters. We don't run around telling you how intellectual we are all day and you know, telling folks that we don't understand language or any of this garbage. It's crazy. We're changing the future. We're making the world better. We're winning. You're losing. All of you are jokes. Well, Alex, don't bash some show that's based about you and plugs you every day. I don't care. I don't go to NFL games. I don't want to go to Hollywood. I don't want to go to A-list parties or fly off on private jets to the Caribbean and, you know, sit there with empty-headed morons. Understand that? I'm here to burn you down. I'm here to rout you out, and I'm going to do it. And I mean that information warfare-wise. Roger Stone, you just came out of the big House Intelligence Committee hearing with Lord Schiff, the great perpetrator of BS and buffoonery. And we've got the exclusive video of what you testified inside to up on InfoWars.com. Tell us what happened.
Well, Alex, major breaking news that will be heard first around the world here at InfoWars. During my testimony, when I said I did not believe that the Russians had hacked the DNC, and I cited the fact that the DNC had refused to turn over their servers for examination to the FBI, both Congresswoman Spear, and Congressman Schiff objected and said that, in fact, the DNC had turned over their server. Now, in fact, it was pointed out by Trey Gowdy, the Republican member, that both FBI Director Comey and Homeland Security Secretary Johnson came before this very committee and testified that the DNC had not turned over their server to the FBI. So, Alex, somebody's lying, and we need to get to the bottom of who that somebody is.
somebody's committing perjury in Camelot.
Certainly appears that way, although what's interesting is, I have just learned, as the witness, I am subject to the laws regarding perjury, but as the questioners, if they lie, well, there's no penalty for that. I corrected the record. I made it very clear that there was no collusion by Donald Trump, the Trump campaign, the Trump family, the Trump friends, the Trump associates, certainly nobody at InfoWars, with the Russian state. I also made it clear that I did not know about the hacking of John Podesta's email in advance, contrary to what Congressman Schiff said, that I have never worked for the Russian state, contrary to what Congresswoman Speier had said, and that I had only confirmed what Julian Assange himself had tweeted on July 21st.
Sure, we all understand that. Year. So I've seen your prepared text. How was Schiff and the other Legion of Doom members acting towards you? Because they always have this fake bravado on television. How are they acting behind the scenes?
They were weasels. Schiff was particularly a weasel. They were attempting to set several perjury traps. They were unsuccessful. They read back to me a number of my commentaries on InfoWars.com, trying to twist them to say that they said something they didn't. So when I said on InfoWars that I had been in communications with Assange, I also made it clear on InfoWars that that communications was indirect through an intermediary.
But the New York Times was talking to him at the same time. You're allowed to talk to people.
Exactly the point.
Assange isn't a Russian agent.
They also asked me if I had ever posted and then deleted a tweet. I didn't recall that I had. And then they showed me a tweet in which I had called some woman out, pointing out that communications with Assange would be perfectly legal. And then had subsequently deleted that because I had called her a stupid word that rhymes with witch. And I thought better of it after I had posted it. Innocuous, benign.
Well, I delete tweets all the time when I'm like sending a tweet at a red light, and then I notice I sent the wrong word out. I mean, I delete them all the time.
Or that you misspell something. Of course it happens. But be careful, Alex. They may haul you before the committee to explain your deleted tweets.
Well, I think it's fair to say this whole Russiagate's winding down. You predicted that 6 months ago. They would then segue into financial crimes, which they've basically admitted to. So what's the next shoe to drop?
It's very hard to say. They, of course, asked many, many questions about Paul Manafort. They asked many, many questions about conversations that I've had with the president, which I declined to characterize to their chagrin. It's not clear where they think they're going, but we're going to have to resolve whether or not the DNC was hacked at all, never mind hacked by the Russians. And now suddenly the Democrats are claiming they did turn over the server to the FBI. That's just a serious discrepancy in the public record.
Well, Roger, another chapter is now opening, and it's the battle for the Republican Party centered around this runoff for the nomination there in Alabama for the Senate seat of the now Attorney General Jeff Sessions. We have Bannon charging around, exposing that the establishment is backing Mr. Strange. Give us your approximation as a political operative on what's going on in Trumplandia. Is he still keeping the faith?
Well, I am completely at one with Steve Bannon. We are both supporting the same candidate, former Judge Roy Moore. Roy Moore, ironically, will be more loyal to the Trump agenda than the candidate the president has been conned into supporting. That would be Luther Strange. So things are kind of backwards there, but a victory for Moore will be a victory for the Trump agenda, while a defeat for Strange will unfortunately be a defeat for the president, because I believe as Steve does, the president was conned into supporting the establishment Republican candidate.
So this is what we're supposed to do. Keep them honest. Take over the Republican Party in the internal documents of the Republican and Democratic parties, as you know, back during the last campaign. The greatest fear is a libertarian insurrection, an Americana Christian insurrection, those three groups together, all taking the Republican Party over. And we're doing it, and they're scared. And I don't know how long the Republican establishment, the Mitch McConnells, the Paul Ryans, can hang on by their you know, dear lives. And that's why President Trump should get behind this political move. And I mean their political lives, to go ahead and sweep them out and finally get the real trifecta in Congress. But I'm told the generals, and they even said this in the news, are hopping mad. Why are they involved in domestic stuff? Telling Bannon, shut your mouth, go away. No, InfoWars, Breitbart, Drudge Report, the Liberty Movement. We brought, the American people brought Trump in, and we're not going to just crawl off in the shadows now while you join with a bunch of blue blood trash and rape this country. Go ahead, Roger.
I could not agree more, Alex. The truth is that if you love Donald Trump and the Trump Revolution, and you live in Alabama, you should vote for Roy Moore, not the candidate the president got.
And you were saying that you were on the air months before Trump endorsed him, trying to get Trump. Were you ever able, I know it's always limited, the stuff you get to talk about with him or others do, to say, you know, early on, I remember talking to you saying, as soon as the president calls me, I don't know if we can get into this, you know, I'm going to really push, Judge Moore, not this strange. And then just, I guess you didn't get the word to him, or it wasn't enough, or what happened?
Well, I made the case, in all honesty, like Ronald Reagan, he had two options. One was to endorse no one. That's what every Republican president in my lifetime has done in statewide primaries and then campaigned for the nominee. Or here was a golden opportunity in a special election to send a message to Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan and the country club Republicans who've been knifing Donald Trump in the back that we're not going to take their crap anymore. He should have endorsed.
And instead, he gave them what they want, and then a month later, Mitch McConnell wouldn't even return his phone calls, an arrogant piece of trash.
No question. And what's the guarantee that Senator Strange will stand with us on Obama?
Well, by the way, they now admit that Trump's giving Strange very half-hearted endorsements and is really sabotaging him. So, I mean, does Trump know the error of his ways now?
I think he's figured it out. But the moral of the story is, don't take political advice from your liberal Democratic son-in-law, Jared Kushner, because that's who recommended the endorsement of Mitch McConnell's running dog lackey candidate, Luther Strange.
All right. Infowars.com, Roger Stone, StoneColdTruth.com. More exclusives coming. Let you get some lunch and some rest now, and we'll talk later coming up on The War Room that you co-host with Owen Schroyer coming up today, 3 o'clock Central, in about 2 hours. Thank you.
God bless you, Eric. God bless you, Alex, and victory or death.
Hey, we're teleprompter free. My new name is Eric Jones. Thanks, buddy. Yeah, absolutely. Victory or death. There he goes. Wow. Powerful, powerful stuff happening. You know, I haven't even gotten into the Comedy Central has a 5-night-a-week show that is so conceited, so self-centered, so arrogant, so fake intellectual. Just, I mean, I'll be honest, I couldn't even watch more than 5 minutes of it. And that's why I haven't played any of it, because it's like chalkboard, nails on a chalkboard. But I do need to play it because it just illustrates every 5 seconds was poured over and written to manipulate and to take control of language. And they tell you who their enemies are in this breakdown. So it's important. So I've got a first 5 minutes of the show. It's all I can watch. And then I've got one of those little promo man on the streets with people wearing, you know, InfoWars.com t-shirts. And just he's attempting to show how dumb conservatives are. Go to a conservative rally versus a liberal rally, and you'll see who's dumb. And that's why they're having to do this. They hate the fact we're doing it. We're just going to do more of it and just show how your constituents are the saddest, dumbest, most confused, lost people the world's ever seen. But listeners, commit today to understand we are the tip of the spear. We need your prayers. We need your financial support. So thanks for going to InfoWarsStore.com.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Well, he founded Citizens for Trump. Jack Posobiec's here in studio with us. Good to have you here.
Great to be here, Alex. Finally coming down to the mothership. I'm having a great time. This place, it's amazing. It's amazing to see what you guys have done.
Well, thanks. We're trying to expand it, and we're trying to recruit all the people to man it. So we got a lot to cover. I asked you during the break what you wanted to cover first. You wanted to get into this article that's up on newswars.com, and I had it somewhere in my stack. If you guys will just print it for me again. It's like an explosion of paper in here. Who is a West Point graduate, I guess, for the Army, and he's got a hat saying communism will win, and then opened up his shirt, and he's got a very, very racist, very, very hateful Che Guevara shirt. Che Guevara, he said that only white people were good and that brown people were cockroaches. He hated Latin Americans because they didn't want to go live in communal farms, and they wanted to keep their own property, not have him be their slave master. But this little arrogant social justice warrior signaling piece of crap, calling himself Commie Bebop, is right there letting everybody know that he likes an ideology that killed almost 200 million people. And this, he'll probably get awarded. Now, you were in naval intelligence, didn't make an issue out of that, running one of the biggest Trump grassroots groups. President likes you, tweets your stuff. You broke a lot of big stories. They kicked you out of naval intelligence over that, saying it's improper. If the president supports someone in the armed services, that's a sign they're not loyal because you're not a communist. You don't want to kill 150 million people.
Exactly. So if you remember all during the election, when I was doing the Citizens for Trump work, I would come on Hero once in a while. And did I ever mention anything about my naval intelligence background or my history or anything to do with the intelligence community whatsoever? No. I was here only in the perspective of I was talking about what was going on with the election, what we were doing in the volunteer time, all the different operations we were running to help the president win. Because we're Americans and we can do that under the Constitution. And I wanted to step forward from the shadows and do that because I felt like it was right for my country.
Absolute crossroads.
I get shut down. This guy who comes out and says he's a Che Guevara terrorist and basically says he's a communist on the side. And if you look at some of the stuff that Che Guevara did in the past, I mean, absolutely horrific brutality. That was
mass executions of men, women, and children.
And when you're a member,
he called Mexicans roaches.
Roaches. Now, I'm pretty sure, I haven't checked, no, I was a Navy guy, I'm not an Army guy. I'm pretty sure that the Che Guevara shirt is not Army issue for the uniform. Fairly certain, Alex. I don't know if you've checked.
Well, you know he had higher-ups egging him on.
Yeah, exactly. So where is the slapdown on this guy? Where is anybody coming down on this? You cannot.
You've got all these university professors saying kill cops, and they get awarded stuff.
The Army will make you remove tattoos if they see if there's gang members, if there's like hate speech or anything like swastika tattoos, that sort of thing. The Army will make you remove that if you have it or kick you out in some cases. Why hasn't there been anything on this guy? But meanwhile, you got a guy like me, you got guys like other people that have stepped forward and said they want to serve their country.
But guess who his hero is? Kaepernick.
Of course Kaepernick is his hero. Kaepernick who, number one.
Another spoiled, rotten scumbag that wants communism.
Millions of dollars.
You think Kaepernick, who also likes Shea, knows that he hated anybody that wasn't white?
I don't think that he's probably done any of the research.
No, these people are all dumbasses.
Really looked at the t-shirt and said, yeah, I like that t-shirt. Let's put it on.
Yeah, the women will think I'm really groovy if I do that. And I'm not saying all women, but that's what wearing the shaman beads
that's
and crystals. Every guy I know is trying to wear shaman beads and crystals. You know, right when that whole thing's peaking, make me jump off a cliff. We're going to go to break, come right back. Don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of new specials. 40% off our Secret 12 high-quality vitamin B12 that BuzzFeed even did an analysis of and said was the highest quality out there. They were really upset. They said, my God, it's the very best out there. We can't believe it. And we've got a lot of other specials as well. InfoWarsStore.com. New essential oils are there as well. We've got a bunch of different specials. Please support us. We need the support. Great products.
GCNlive.com today.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show. Crashing through the lies and disinformation. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
We're broadcasting worldwide, ladies and gentlemen. Jack Posobiec is here doing a great job. Of course, you can check out his main site, citizensfortrump.com, one of the main groups credited with the Trump victory. And he's a Navy man right now, might be a veteran soon because they're trying to kick him out. It was in the news. They said, naval intelligence, the president likes him. You can't trust that. I want to get into the NFL. I want to get into Bannon. I want to get into the fight for the heart and soul of the Republican Party. But what other issues do you want to get into in the next hour plus we have before Paul Watson joins us?
Well, Alex, I could definitely talk about the North Korea situation from a military perspective, look at the different fight, the way it's lining up right now. And then you mentioned the fight for the real heart and soul of the Republican Party that's going on not too far from where we sit, right over in Alabama. The Senate primary today, big showdown between the establishment, where Trump has endorsed the establishment guy, this strange, but now the every single other grassroots, conservative, patriotic Trump supporter is behind this guy, Roy Moore.
And there's been five other congressional special elections that the Democrats threw everything they had, 2-1, 5-1, 10-1, depending on the state spending, and all the hardcore candidates won. And then, again, as a bellwether, saying everybody is certifying, we want to keep Trump, we like it. And then he does this and endorses an establishment guy trying to appease the Republican establishment, and then they wouldn't even return his phone calls after he capitulated.
Yeah, so you got to ask, what's the deal here? What are we getting out of this? What's Trump getting out of this? McConnell isn't putting forward any of his bills. They're putting forward these Obamacare repeal and replace bills, but they can't even get passed because John McCain says he won't support it. And when you look at the bill itself, it's not really changing very much. It says, well, it's not going to be Obamacare at the federal level, but it'll be Obamacare at the state level. It's like, okay, well, it's still kind of Obamacare, right? So why are we, what exactly are we getting? Where's the wall? Where's the legislation for that? Where's the funding for it? Where are the major tax reform that we've talked about? Where's the infrastructure bills? What exactly is the president getting for his agenda out of supporting Luther Strange? Meanwhile, you got a guy like Roy Moore who supports the president's agenda already. This is Jeff Sessions' seat. We can't have a squish in Jeff Sessions' seat. We don't want an establishment guy there. You need a rock.
And what's the polling showing? I've seen different numbers, but you're more on top of this than I. I mean, what's it looking like right now? Neck and neck?
It's so, honestly, it's kind of a weird thing, but actually, after Trump endorsed after Trump endorsed Strange, Moore went up in the polls. And people are actually saying, well, how that? People are scratching their heads and they're saying the media couldn't figure it out. They were saying, why is Moore going up, even though they had said 90% of people knew that Trump had endorsed Strange? What it actually comes down to is they said, look, we like Trump, but we support the agenda. And that's who Moore is.
Right. It's not about the man. It's about the mission. It's about the culture.
Exactly. They said, look, we like Trump because Trump's our guy, but that doesn't mean we're going to be in lockstep.
It's not a cult.
Everything. Yeah, it's not a cult. That's they think that we're like them.
No, we're not Trumpites. We're Americans.
Right. We're Americans. We're free thinkers. And we can think to say, well, sir, we respectfully disagree with you.
And we really like Trump and we know he's for real and he's already done so much. But if somehow they get control and he goes sideways, we'll throw him overboard. And I think they're finding that out.
Yeah, they're realizing that MAGA is about make America great again. And we're here for
not make the Republican blue bloods act like they're patriots, but continue their degenerate agenda. And the way the old dumb Republicans bow to MSM like it's so powerful and like, oh, they won its coveted endorsement. It's a scarlet letter. It's a big loser hung around your neck. You don't want Hollywood or Comedy Central or the NFL to like you. You want them to hate you.
The thing I love about the Comedy Central show is they don't realize that the more and more they do that, the more power they're giving to you, the more power they're giving to our side, because the more they're saying, hey, you need to pay attention to these guys. Oh, we're just going to laugh.
Well, they did it out of panic because nothing worked. They already did the ignoring and everything else. So now they want to misbrand who we are, just hoping one of their bots kills us. Let's be clear. This is about getting us killed. They're listening to their mentally ill deranged crowds that are pissed. Go kill these people.
SPLC, ADL, making the lists, putting up the targets.
It's go kill them. Yeah, and I don't think the host, people reading on teleprompters understand the full, you know, multi-level psychological warfare operation they're running. But that's what this is. This is, hey, every couple days another white church gets shot up, more whites are getting killed. They're starting a race war, and then they're directing their people, go kill Alex Jones, go kill Milo.
Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Okay, so you got the world champion Spurs of San Antonio, just south of where I'm broadcasting from in the ATX. And it's just a crescendo of the usual suspects. Michael Moore, Maxine Waters, Sheila Jackson Lee, the usual suspects, just pity parting, invoking race war. Never enough kneeling, never enough protesting during the national anthem in this great time of battling racism. And then you look at the FBI statistics, on average, 10 to 1 black crime against white folks. And I'm not bashing people. Most black folks aren't bad. But the media says go out and attack white people, and it's happening. Like this white church got attacked over the weekend by a Islamic invader from Sudan, and he said on Facebook, I'm a Muslim, and I want to kill Christians and white people. And he came and he did it. But you're not going to hear the NBA coach, Popovich, saying a word about that. No, no, no. White people need to be made to feel uncomfortable. Well, I think they're getting made to feel uncomfortable when they get put in 6 feet under, just randomly shot, or black cops randomly shot just because they're cops by BLM.
Pretty uncomfortable when you have to stand with armed guards outside of your church where you're trying to worship God. I have a buddy who lives right outside of Nashville, right near where that church is. They stand armed guard. They take turns because they're worried that something like that could happen. They take turns 20 minutes, 30 minutes.
And he would have killed a lot more people than you know, 9 folks he shot, 1 dead, if there wouldn't have been that security usher. The usher's got to carry guns.
Yeah, thank God.
And they call us kooks because we carry guns when you're all over TV saying, go kill Trump supporters. And they're not even Trump supporters. Just some white folks, we're going to kill them. And when that idiot in South Carolina killed the 9 black folks, every white person in America was guilty. But now when a black guy does, it doesn't even make the news.
Every bit as evil as Dylann Roof. Every bit as evil. No national media.
Not a word out of Popovich because he can virtue signal in San Antonio and him and his players can feel sorry. We're only making $20 million a year, coach. And we only have all the women throwing themselves at us and have helicopters and jets. America sucks.
You can only buy 2 Lamborghinis this year, not 3. I wanted 3.
That's right. So let's go ahead and play this clip right now. I got so upset I just unplugged my headset's not working. It doesn't matter. Here is the clip.
It doesn't matter. People have to be made to feel uncomfortable, and especially white people, because we're comfortable. We still have no clue of what being born white means. And if you read some of the recent literature, you'll realize it really is no such thing as whiteness, but we've kind of made it up. That's not my original thought, but it's true. And it's hard to sit down and decide that, yes, it's like you're at the 50-meter mark in a 100-meter dash, and you got that kind of a lead. Yes, because you were born white, you have advantages that are systemically, culturally, psychologically, there. And they've been built up and cemented for hundreds of years. It doesn't matter.
So Jack Posobiec, just next level. And I've got like 20 similar clips.
Where are you getting this stuff?
It's only going to get worse and worse where you just run around and go, I'm sorry, I'm evil. Kill us. Stab us. Murder us. Whites are inherently evil. You know, you have like this head of the vaccine program in Texas is out at the event, and she says, we need to just kill all the white people. And she's a white lady, and Hillary, well, white people voted for Trump. They're the problem. You know, just the same white folks that voted for Obama. I mean, it's just crazy. Where's this going?
And you realize that there are sources of information that are beyond what we're seeing on mainstream. Wherever this guy is drawing this stuff from, there's no such thing as whiteness, and the whiteness have been oppressing people for years, and it's systematic. You're not hearing that on CNN. You're not hearing that from mainstream sources. So there's other sources, higher level stuff that's getting to this guy. There's higher level sources that are being worked on these people that are essentially trying to flame this up because they know that these people are influential. They know they're influential because of their platforms through sports, through entertainment, through other parts of the media, so that they can then push that message out and fan these flames of identity politics, fan these flames of actual racism, because they're looking to push forward this. Or they knew, the Russians talked about this in the 1970s, even before then. They knew that America's fault lines were on race. You fan those flames, you try to divide Americans on those racial lines, and you're just going to get chaos in the United
States. And the Soviets would do it in Latin America according to tribal lines. Or they would do it in Ukraine according to Orthodox versus Catholic. They would do it in the Middle East, Shiite versus Sunni. And they wrote big concordance documents on how to politically control. It's called cultural Marxism, and it's being carried out and taught at colleges now. And I just had Ron Paul on saying the NFL is cultural Marxism. But notice, they've invaded everywhere with politics beating us over the head. Don't they get we've developed an allergy, that we're rejecting it, that it's not working?
Yeah, that's what they don't get. And that is the amazing thing about the American people, is the fact that they know inherently, Alex, that you do stand up for the American flag. You do stand up for the anthem. You do stand up for your country.
Well, yeah, we're not North Korea. It's right. Our country. We pay taxes to it. It's our ancestors. And it's what are we giving it up for? Globalism? Totally ruthless companies that literally own slave factories that are the worst? The more liberal the company, the more hellish their facilities are.
And we saw this under the Obama administration, him working closer and closer with the NFL. They had the Ravens were involved in the Obamacare rollout. You think about this.
This is the Obamification, the global, the George Sorosization of the NFL, and it's now used toilet paper.
Yeah, it's by design. It's by design that they would use this because they know the power of the entertainment. They knew the power of the celebrity, the athlete, is someone that you're going to listen to. They used to do this with the rock singers during Vietnam, during all that time. They used to do it with other areas of entertainment. Now they're using it with athletes. We're also seeing Jimmy Kimmel, John Oliver, all these guys are spouting off about, well, this is what we need for the FCC, and this is what we need for net neutrality, and this is what we need for healthcare. And suddenly they say, wait a minute.
And let's be clear. It comes directly out of the CIA, the Ford Foundation at the top. There are good people inside government agencies that are fighting this. That's what we're seeing, is a deep state civil war. But now they're activating the shadow government that is controlled by the bad guys, that controls the deep state, to try to bring in some type of hard coup against the president. What do you think they're going to launch next?
I think we're going to see more of this. We're going to see more people, an over-politicization of America. We're going to see people outside of sports. Now this is leaking over to the baseball. It's leaking over to hockey. It's leaking over to NASCAR. Dale Earnhardt Jr. said he wanted to be in solidarity with these guys. And so people are going to...
Because their bosses are saying conservatives won't punish you. They don't care, but liberals will love you. Virtue signal to them. And then the mainstream media will say you're good. No, Dale Earnhardt Jr., you're an idiot. You're going to be hated by your core fans forever. And the numbers show it, but they're still committing political suicide. Why?
Because it's a program. Because it's a program. And they know that it's not going
to be ordered
overnight. They know that it's a conditioning.
It's a nudging. It's a force feeding.
It's then going to move to advertisers. Look for Coca-Cola. Look for Pepsi. Look for these big, major advertisers.
To give them major endorsements. It's a payoff.
To start to go for all of this.
Take the one Army Ranger veteran. I don't want to say his name now because I don't want to disgrace his family. He was wonderful getting up during the anthem and saying, I'm not going to be part of this. And then they basically threatened to fire him. He now says he's ashamed. He agrees with it all. Basically, you know, America's bad. Stick with the players. So it shows the bullying of this cult.
Hey, you talk about North Korea. This is like a video that North Korea would make somebody like that student or somebody else give after you've been kidnapped by North Korea. That didn't
seem exactly.
You knew what that guy was standing. You could see in his eyes that he was standing for his country. He was standing for the fallen soldiers that he served with, wounded veterans. He talked about that's why.
They told him, "Your $5 million a year contract's over unless you get out there and say piss on America."
And that reminded me of something that you'd see. Go back. We've talked about this before, Alex. Chinese Cultural Revolution. This is exactly what they made.
When you go to the universities, they say we're executing the Mao model. That's what the Ford Foundation is executing. Right. Of all the communist flavors, that's what we're having executed, with the Chi-Coms rolling in with funding of all six major movie production companies.
So the actual funding is even coming from China. A lot of this is overt. A lot of people see this. Hollywood movies today, and for the past 10 years, it's been ratcheting up and ratcheting up. It's always China. And suddenly China is more helpful in the films. And then you're seeing too, if you go back, look and study the Chinese Cultural Revolution. These ideas of toppling your monuments, destroying your own history. History doesn't matter because we have progress now. We don't need history anymore because we're better. We're more self-effectuated, self-accentuated, whatever that means, postmodernism. And then if anyone steps out of that, if anyone steps out of line, you have to self-recriminate. You have to go stand before everyone and apologize.
And that's the thing. It starts with you going in the colleges and then the churches and then your homes. Then they shut down the churches saying, I'm bad. I did this. It's true. And then once they get the whites doing it, everyone's going to have to go say what they've done. And then, Bob had to be taken away for re-education. And what do they say? 2010 army.mil document. They've set up mass internment facilities, and they use the term re-education camp that is the Soviet and slash communist Chinese name. I'm not calling it internment camp. Excuse me, re-education camp. They call it re-education camp. They even use the tainted name to rub it in.
They know what they're doing. They know what the program is.
They're running a commie takeover.
They know exactly. It's paint by numbers. This came from Stalin. Then it went to Mao. Mao really was the one that got the cultural understanding of this underway. Because in the Soviet Union, a lot of this was already destroyed from all of the wars that happened from World War One, World War Two, the Bolshevik Revolution. But it was Mao who had to go in peacetime, Alex. And that's key. In peacetime, they had to foment these ideas.
And he used the youth. He said, your parents are idiots. You're in charge. And then they had the kids to show themselves killing their mothers and fathers in the square.
Students rising up, going after their principals, going after. And look, when you're a kid, of course, you're going to be anti-principal, anti your teacher. Of course, you're going to want to go after them. But what Mao did was take that natural rebelliousness of youth and put weapons in their hands and say that if you do this, if you rise up, the government will be behind you.
And that's what happens when they, oh, conservatives can't have any speeches now at Berkeley. Oh, but the anti-racists, they can. And what do? Beat up our reporters, attack their car, just covering them. We're God. We're violent. We'll go to your church and we'll kill you because you're white or Christian, because we're the liberals. And then the whole NFL will bow down and kiss our butt because we're going to kill you because we're liberal. We're going to kill you. We're going to beat you. We're going to throw feces on you. We're going to bankrupt the economy. We're all going to live in squalor. We're going to shove Prozac down little children's throats. And everybody's going to die at early age. We're going to live in a giant North Korean hell because we're liberal. We're intellectual. Worship us.
It's mind control. Mind control. Corruption of your thoughts. Destruction of your soul.
Jack Posobiec is our guest, the founder of one of the biggest pro-Trump groups here in the campaign, very prolific, the journalist on the ground, and just kicking butt at citizensfortrump.com or at Jack Posobiec on Twitter. Be sure and follow him there. There's all the censorship issues. There's all this other news I want to get to. I want to get into this new Comedy Central thing that airs five nights a week and attacks yours truly and, you know, takes what I've said out of context or tries to manipulate it. But getting into the NFL, as you said, it's a program. They want to break our will. They know it's unpopular now, but they believe that they're sociopathically on the right course. They want to be part of the big social engineer team. They don't get there's a civil war and we're rejecting them and irrevocable lines are being drawn here. But let's play this clip of the entire Dallas Cowboys team takes a knee protesting the national anthem. 20 years ago, 30 years, you would laugh. You'd think Martians had taken over. But this is what it is. The full assault on America that was meant to totally happen this year. But Patriots got Trump in, so now it's a train wreck. But they're still executing their operation. Here's that clip.
She said the Cowboys players wanted to show unity, but they were very adamant about wanting to separate that message from the national anthem. Sean?
All right, Lisa, as they take a knee collectively, boos can be heard from this sellout crowd in Arizona.
Jerry Jones is just a shameful person. That was my grandfather's name, Jerry Jones. A very shameful person.
That smile, that little smirk on his face. He knows what he's doing. And symbols mean things, Alex. We're talking about this in the context of an overall program. They're kneeling. They're kneeling.
Submitting.
Genuflecting. Submitting. What is, you look up.
Can you guys pull up Kneel to Zod from Superman 2, please?
Cal, son of Jor-El, kneel before.
Kneel before Zod! God.
Exactly. It's supplication. And so it's not like, oh, we're kneeling to protest. No. We know what you guys are doing. We know what you're kneeling. Symbols mean things. And so my question to them would be.
It means kneel and give up your country.
Right.
Kneel and let us conquer you. Who are you? Oh, we're the globalists that run slave factories and fund radical Islam and are totally cold blooded. We're Bono that gives less than 1% of the money he gets from charity to black Africans. But it's okay because, again, they're liberal, Jack.
Yeah, because they want you to submit. They want you to actually the word Islam actually means submit to God. So this idea of submission.
Kneel, get on your face.
Yeah, get down. And that's what they do. They kneel five times a day. They kneel down. And that's in terms of.
So we're getting the NFL and everybody used to it. They only kneel once a day now. But right. Now you maybe, kneel to the mainstream eventually. Media. Whatever you say, oh, yes, America's bad. We hate it. Oh, we hate free market. We hate all the health care. We want to just make it. Oh, we want to be like Venezuela. We're so sorry. Oh, please.
please, please, please give us our single player. Please give us right now. Please, please take all of our data. Please, Mark Zuckerberg, please take all of our information. Track me all, every 5 seconds. That's what George Orwell got wrong. George Orwell got wrong the fact that we would ask for it, that we would ask for all of this targeting, ask for all of this surveillance, that they would actually figure out a way for us to want Big Brother.
And that's, if you ever wondered what the assault on America would look like, the founders and others always said it would come from within. And suddenly at West Point, they're pulling their outfits off, going, we're communists, we're taking over. And their officers are like, good, well done, because this is their coming out. Imagine, this is their big move.
I mean, imagine showing that to Patton. Imagine showing Patton, and he says one of his soldiers, and he's got a communist shirt on underneath. What do you think Patton would do with something like that?
And then they put it out to rub it in your face and say, we will win, you will lose.
Because he knows nothing's going to happen to him. He knows there's not going to be negative consequences.
Here you go. Let's listen to Neil before Zod. Because I actually want to hear the audio is what I'm saying.
That's great. It's the best.
We'll come back from break. And we'll...
There it is.
American leadership role that some presidents have.
We got some fun stuff happening in the control room today.
You got to cut that up with with Zod and then the Cowboys right after that. So have him kneel before Zod. And then they
in fact, I meant to tell them that they're, in fact, McBrain or do. Just grab Neil before Zod, the whole scene, 30 seconds, and then the Cowboys doing it and everybody else doing it. That's it.
And they put it.
That's right the there. New viral deal right there.
There it is. Perfect.
That's continue, nice. Pasovic. And with more great ideas. We need to hire this guy again around here.
What can I say?
See, I mean.
I have ideas. I mean, you put this stuff together.
Because which is why you need to be kicked out of the Navy. You're not a communist.
No, go.
The president likes you.
No, how dare the
media was like, can you believe the president likes him? Kick him out of the Navy.
How dare the commander in
chief. The commander in chief.
Look at this naval officer and say, I like what this guy says. We got to get rid of him. We can't have this at all. This doesn't make any sense. And I don't.
I mean, the president can't be in the White House.
No, we got to get rid of him.
What do you think you are, the president?
Trump can't be on Twitter. Trump can't have access to InfoWars and Breitbart and all these other independent.
He has to be locked up in a tower.
No, we've got to get him out there. We've got to put him under house arrest, and we can't let him see any of those subversive things. No, just give him Politico and New York Times and CNN, and just make him feel comfortable and safe, and all of our sources, nobody on the other side.
And, of course, it's InfoWars and Breitbart that told him specifically he was being wiretapped, which is all confirmed exactly as we said, which is why he can't see it. Because it's like, you cannot have accurate info, sir. You need to get it immediately from Mr. Kissinger. We'll be back. Stay with us. Jack Posobiec in studio.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Make no mistake, it's in the WikiLeaks. Even before Hillary lost, they said, we're losing, the public isn't listening anymore. We need to divide them, we need to control them and keep them under our control to keep them helpless and in the dark. And Hillary responds, this was in the news, she says, I'm so sick of these baristas living in their mother's basements. What do they expect from me? Free health care? It's impossible. And they respond back, we recommend expansion of culture war. That means race war, men against women, left against right, and that's what they're doing with the NFL, bought and paid for now, with globalist foundation money to do all this kneeling garbage. That's why the owners are behind it. That's why the teams are behind it. It's why the commissioner, when Trump said on Friday, he said, you disrespect our flag, you get off the field, you son of a bitch, you're fired. He said, no, Mr. President, you disrespect the NFL. That's the arrogance in the weird sycophant area of where people just worship these roid head, coke head, players and the decadent, stupid owners. They've gotten so disconnected, they think they're America, so the globalists captured them, and now for the last 6-7 years, it took Obama a few years, you suddenly saw anti-gun, anti-family, anti-America, and the ads and the corporations. It's the corporate money, the sponsorship money, as you said earlier, Jack Posobiec, is linked up to totally and absolutely control this. And that's why, because these people are mercenaries to sell their country out. That's why they're doing it, not for solidarity, not because they're against racism. No, they know it's a bunch of hype. They've been told to do it for sponsorships.
They know, and they looked at this. You remember Pepsi. We remember Pepsi, the change ads, the hope ads that were run. Those were Obama ads masquerading as Pepsi ads, because that's the way marketing works. Marketing is a psychological operation when it comes down to it. When it comes, they are trying to get you to buy a product. But in this case, what they're doing is they've used that same information, those same tactics. They're marketing now political ideas. They're marketing, well, you should be on Obama's side. Use those words. We know those are Obama words, but we're going to match up with a Pepsi product. And then so now that that link is made in your mind, every time you see that Pepsi can, you're linked with Obama. Every time you see it now, it's linked with the NFL. And now it's all linked.
It's subliminal.
Yeah, it's completely.
And they admitted it was. I mean, here's an example. It was like 6-7 Super Bowls ago, they had the Green Police Audi ads that show people being arrested for hot tubs because it takes too much energy, arrested for batteries, light bulbs. But a guy in an Audi gets to go around the checkpoint, the police state internal checkpoint, because he has an Audi. He's socially cool. I said, that was paid for, I guarantee you, by a big foundation, because even the Green Police uniforms were the real ones I've seen from Canada to Australia to the U.S. rolling out. Local, federal, doesn't matter. White top, green pants. They later admitted, a month later in the San Francisco Chronicle, that it was paid by a consortium of government and other think tanks to prepare people for the real rollout. That's what's, and it was done on the NFL.
Yeah, and the people understand, Alex, Super Bowl ads, those cost a little bit of money. Those are not cheap ads. That is not cheap
ads. The average ads are about $2 million.
Yeah, that is the most expensive.
It's like $5 million to air one.
You're going to have. Yeah, exactly. So they know, and they also know that they're getting their value for it. So there's going to be the most amount of messaging, the most amount of programming, the most amount of
money. And if you want to know what the elite want, you want to hear their mouth, watch the NFL. And it's, we hate America. We hate the flag. We hate the veterans. We want your guns. We hate families.
I think it was last year or 2 years ago when they came out and said, this is an anti-police halftime show. It was when Beyonce was doing
yeah.
it. It was just we're going to.
And then she did simulated rioting. And again, the police aren't perfect like anybody, but they're making the revolution about overthrowing local government. That's a communist takeover. And people are like, Alex, you used to be anti-corruption because I wanted to save the police and not have them be tools of the globalists. I wanted them to be awake. And you know what? They are on average. And that's why the globalists are screwed.
Right. And Al Sharpton even came out and admitted that he said a lot of this is because we want a national police.
He said we're going to federalize it.
We're going to federalize.
You can search engine. He goes, we're doing all this because we're going to federalize the police. And they came out with the Strong Cities Initiative. Who would sit over that federal board, the UN?
Precisely. So all of this was going, and you could read the tea leaves and see, like, why are they going against police? And then you saw when they said, oh, they're militarizing the police. They're getting military equipment. And you realized that they were going after local police. And if you pick up that one piece of information, that was the thread. And then you could tie it back to...
And you want to bully the locals into going federal because the globalists have taken over the feds. Then if the feds take over the locals, you have total control.
And suddenly you have a national internal paramilitary force.
That's right.
Being run. So you put it in those...
Getting orders from the UN with Loretta Lynch giving speeches saying it.
Right. So you put it in those words and they say, oh, you're just conspiracies. You're crazy. No, wait, that is what you exactly said. That is what you're doing.
And the only reason the intelligence agencies turned against Hillary at the grassroots and middle levels was because they were being briefed on the internment camps and the re-education centers and on the communism and on all this and arresting governors and having a one party state. And they said, this is crazy.
Yeah.
Everything Alex Jones said for 20 years or Ron Paul said is true. And I'm not bragging, but we read the enemy's attack plan. It sounded crazy because it is, but when they actually tried it, it didn't work. And now they're never going to get away with this now.
You've got those two levels, and obviously I can't speak into classified on this, but you've got essentially two levels where there's the political appointee level in the intelligence community, the DNI, the clapper level, right? And then you've got the rank and file, the members, the people that signed up that choose to live their lives in secret because they love their country and they want to do the right thing for the American people. So when they see stuff that's going on that they don't like, when they see stuff that they get fed up with, you better believe they're going to do something about it as best they can. And so that is where the big divide
comes. That's the civil war inside the deep state.
Right. And so that's what they saw with a lot of people. They said, oh, well, look at this guy. You know, when Snowden came out, well, he's a traitor. Manning came out, he's a traitor. But then you'd have other people say, wait a minute, I didn't know we did that. wait, this program we're looking into people's phones. We're looking into, we're collecting that metadata, this metadata, but they didn't do anything wrong. We don't have a warrant against them. This is completely.
And it's political. Yeah.
So then you're realizing that their own training, their own indoctrination, their own programming is telling them to not do the things.
But under Obama, they put in people like Reality Winner that was trying to join ISIS and hated all whites. She was white. This guy at West Point saying, I'm a communist. We're going to take over and overthrow you at the graduation. They've put their people in. I mean, how deep's the penetration?
It's... Part of it is penetration from the political level, so it's going to stay up there, but it's this ideology that gets in there. It's a mind virus, Alex, you know this, and it's having people in there that already believe because they're listening to your liberal podcast, you're listening to this alt-left stuff, you're listening to these crazy Russia conspiracy theories, and Reality Winner, that's exactly who she was. She was somebody who bought into all of that, so she decided to break the law in order to help what she thought was the resistance, but actually she was helping the establishment.
She wanted to help ISIS as a woman, as a feminist. I mean, Che Guevara said Mexicans were, quote, roaches because they didn't want to live collectively and let him be their boss. He was a super racist a-hole. I mean, people don't know who are here in America just think whites are the only people who were ever class-driven. It's the same way all over the world in primitive systems. Latin America is completely caste-oriented about your skin color.
And multiple levels.
Hunt 500 years of people not interbreeding, you know, with the natives. Hey, my dad's family did. And I'm not virtue signaling. It's true. I'm proud of some of my Native American history, but I'm proud of my European history as well. This is the mental illness. White people do what everybody else has done.
Right. And that's it, to get you to have to say, to have to come out there and say, well, this is what my background is. And I'm able to talk on these issues because why are we even talking about this, Alex? Whatever happened to, let's not judge people by the color of their skin, but the content of their character. Whatever happened to that line? Well, they knew that that line was not helpful to their program. They knew that that line wasn't helpful to fomenting this type of anger and division and friction in the country. And so they turned it around and suddenly made people have to self-criminate. There were people who came out. There was an article. I can't remember exactly where it was, but this woman was writing it up and she was African-American. Then she found out that she was part Irish. So she said, oh my goodness, I can't believe that I'm part Irish and I had to come to terms with what I've done. And suddenly, so wait a minute, whatever happened to individual?
She's a human. Now she's guilty because Irish might have had some slaves when per capita, Irish were the slaves, you dumbass.
Right, so...
Most of the sharecroppers were Irish.
Yeah, you saw the Irish retreat.
And the difference... Was retreated. Oh my God.
Yeah, it's exactly
these,
right.
These people are just... And now they're taking down the Lynch name, which is Irish everywhere, calling it racist.
Yeah, they're calling that race. It is an Irish name, comes from an Irish lord. That's where lynchings come from, the name Lynch. But we can't have the name. Does that count for Loretta Lynch? Does she have to come down?
It just shows the total mental illness. Now, speaking of bowing to the system, as myself and Jack Posobiec just pointed out earlier, when they're bowing down, who's giving them the cultural orders? The MSNBC, the CNNs. Well, who loads their teleprompters? The CIA, the Ford Foundation, the Carnegie Foundation, George Soros funds everything from the Huffington Post to MSNBC to you name it, to the London Guardian. They're putting out the message, kneel. Now, during the ritual of America, the Star-Spangled Banner, the hand over the chest, don't have to do it if you want, but we're going to focus in on these spoil-rotten players doing it, and then now the owners, everyone else doing it, in defiance of the president that's saying it's wrong and disrespectful to the veterans and the country, and why do you want to be here? This reminds me of Superman 2, when Zod comes into the White House and is saying, everybody kneel to Zod. Because once you kneel, virtue signaling you're not racist, because everyone's been beating you over the head with this made-up guilt, now you'll kneel every time, and then now you'll call out your neighbors, call out your friends. Now, this is cultural Marxism, again, right out of the old Maoist system. So let's go ahead and play this clip and then dovetail it with the Cowboys last night. Is the president.
You are not the president. No one who leads so many could possibly kneel so quickly.
I'm the man they're protecting. I'm the president. I'll kneel before you if it will save lives.
It will. Starting with your own.
I do now, I do for the sake of the people of the world. But there is one man here on earth who will never kneel before you.
Who is this imbecile? Where is he?
I wish I knew.
Superman will save us.
Zod.
The Cowboys players wanted to show unity, but they were very adamant about wanting to separate that message from the national anthem.
They still got booed. It's the same deal. It's like a half bow.
As they take a knee collectively, boos can be heard from this sellout crowd in Arizona.
Wow. You know how all this happened. They were blackmailing them over buying the college athletes. They were blackmailing the Obama Justice Department, how they were paying folks to illegally spear people and take key players out of the game. It is gladiatorial. Let's not lie about what it is. They were breaking the rules. And also the concussions. So the government spiked all those investigations about 6-7 years ago. They peaked it, and they took over the jewel of propaganda, the NFL.
And who was, Alex, if you remember, the special counsel that they brought in to investigate the NFL who totally cleared Roger Goodell? What was his name?
Oh.
It was Robert Mueller. The very same Robert Mueller who is now brought in again to investigate as a special counsel of the president. The very same man.
And it was the FBI director from before him who they brought into Penn State to cover up that old pedophile ring.
But no, the deep state isn't real. But no, tell me the deep state isn't real. When you
said they came in and said, we know you're
again.
We know you're cheating in key plays with Vegas. That's billions. We know you're rigging some games, mainly plays. It's hard to rig the whole NFL. And we're going to bust you on that. And that's why, just like J. Edgar Hoover and other directors said until the mid-50s, there is no such thing as La Cosa Nostra or our thing or the mafia, because the Italian mafia was paying him off.
Right, because they knew that if they were putting that up, that this was when Whitey Bulger was in there, when they supported Whitey Bulger, taking out all the other families. The FBI helped different parts of the mob to go after other parts of the mob. So essentially, the FBI was in the mob business at that point.
And they now admit, I mean, I remember covering it 6-8 years ago, the CIA was taking out 4 of the 5 cartels to where there's basically only one left. And then they make a whole movie with real people.
Medellin.
I mean, that movie, Sicario, that means assassin, that's a really true story. And I even know people that were there, involved, all that stuff. I mean, that whole story really happened. That's just one little snapshot of the CIA, and they make a movie with Hollywood stars showing you what that movie basically happened just as they show it.
I can't believe that movie got made. And you notice that once that movie came out, nobody was talking about it. They weren't getting major awards. It wasn't getting played again. It wasn't, you know, nobody really talks about it. It sits there. But I've talked to people in the special forces community. I've talked to people in the intelligence community that say, yeah, this is true. This is exactly what we do. It's a war that's going on right there on the border, and no one's talking about it.
And this is, that particular story isn't just a composite. That's one of the things that happened.
Right, because they knew the CIA, and this is what they always do. It's part and parcel, to borrow Sadiq Khan's phrase, of what they've been doing since the 50s, even before then, is to say they look at the cartels, Alex, as a regime. They look at that at the cartels because they know who's really in charge.
They see it as a government.
Right, they see it
as and they say, we're going to just be working with one government or maybe two to play them off against each other if we need to, and there you go.
So all we need to do is get the one that's willing to be in bed with us.
And what did Bannon say? He said they sold our jobs and brought in the drugs. He's telling everybody in Alabama, the government brings in the drugs. We're going to stop it. And that's what Trump's doing. They're actually wiping out all the little distribution cartels. They're wiping out the Mexican mafia. They're just getting killed. Right now, they're all being just stacked up, thrown in the river.
They've got to go after the Sinaloas. They've got to go after the Zetas. There are places in Mexico, Alex, where the cartel...
And again, Obama and the globalists did that on purpose.
Yeah, they knew...
Trump's doing Mexico a favor, actually shutting it down. He says, we're not going to have that disorder up here.
You think
we're not going to have a narco state in America. Kill them all.
You think they want to be living in a Mexican narco state? No. That's what Giuliani said. He had the hat. It said, make Mexico great again also. Why shouldn't we? We don't want a failed state like Somalia on our southern...
No.
We want a prosperous...
And Trump's seen the actuaries that if you actually boost our wages, it's going to boost Mexican wages. Just like Ross Perot said, Donald Trump's the best friend the Mexicans ever had, I'm telling you right now. But they're trying to stop him. We're going to go to break, Jack, continue on a little bit. But I want to tape some more stuff with you, even though we're live and Paul Watson's coming up, because we're on fire, man. I like having you in person here.
This is good, man. You know, over the Skype, you know, there's sometimes a little glitch, a little hot, but this is it. This is real. This is as real as it gets, man.
I like having you here. I mean, they need to talk about getting you here part of the time. But I mean, where do you live right now?
I'm out of D.C. Unfortunately, I'm in the swamp. I'm in the swamp with the beautiful and lovely Tanya Tay. So she is the one reason that I keep going back. She actually, we're getting married in a couple of weeks here.
Yes, absolutely.
Which they always want to attack. They always want to go after. How dare you show two American young adults just getting married in a religious ceremony?
I know. This is really blasphemous. Stop right now.
Oh, I've got to
folks,
stop.
Vitamin Mineral Fusion's been sold out for a while. We just got more in and out of the gates. It's all the vitamins, all the minerals, the key amino acids for upload beyond any multivitamin out there. Tastes great. Totally natural, organic, InfoWarsLife.com. It's back in stock. 50% off. That's the new special. Secret 12 is 40% off. Emrex Essentials Oils now in. Take our frankincense. Okay, it sells in stores for $30. The exact same one, we're selling it for $20. There's your example. Other stuff that sells for, $20 in stores, we're selling for $14. So we have new essential oils, InfoWarsLife.com, or 888-253-3139. Your purchase is absolutely needed. It's essential. Thank you all for your support.
This is the emergency shout.
Words will always retain their power. Words offer the means to meaning, and for those who listen, the enunciation of truth.
And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment.
You now have sensors and systems of surveillance coercing your conformity.
Nobody is listening to your telephone calls.
There are, of course, those who do not want us to speak.
What difference at this point does it make?
But we have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it.
The truth is, there is something terribly wrong with this country, isn't there?
You got a business. You didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
How did this happen? Who's to blame? Remind the world that fairness, justice, and freedom are more than words. They are perspectives.
I would remind you that extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
Jack Posobiec visiting us from the D.C. swamp is here. Great guy, really smart fella. Paul Watts is coming up from London, England. I might coast a little bit with him in the next hour, but I don't want to take up Paul's time. I love to listen to him myself. Always learn a lot. Infowars.com, NewsWars.com, Jack Posobiec. You can also follow him on Twitter. Very important to do that and support the work he's doing at Jack Posobiec. CitizensForTrump.com. We've got big national polls out where the vast majority of Americans, depending on the poll, 65 to almost 75 or 80%, depending on the poll you look at, say that they are just totally against the NFL, including black folks, Hispanics, you name it. They're just turning everything into a drama party. You want to watch an NFL game where it's like 90% black guys anyways getting paid on average $5 million a piece, oppressed, and they're living here in the lap of luxury, bitching all day. And statistically, cops kill 200-something black people a year, most of it justified. I'm not defending the cops, but there's some bad shootings cops do, but it's the number one issue in the world. It's a diversion on how we're all having our America stolen, and the globalists want us to fight with each other while they do it, Jack.
Kneeling down, I really like focusing on this topic. I think it's very important, the actual optics of kneeling, because it's not an American thing. As you know, they used to kneel to the kings and queens, right? That was the British, that was the monarchy, that's who you knelt to, that's who you genuflected to. When George Washington became president, he never said kneel. He said, you stand, you shake my hand, I'm going to be Mr. President, not your excellency, not your grand poobah, whatever. It's just Mr. President, shake my hand, very nice to meet you. And so kneeling down, basically genuflecting, giving supplication to something, this is not an American thing to do. It is the only time you'll really see Americans do this is when they're praying, when there's prayer involved, where when you're praising God, when you're doing something like that. It has nothing to do with politics. So entering this genuflection, they say that you must genuflect.
It's classic Soviet
kowtow,
where you go into the group community and do this, and then say you're guilty.
Right. And so now all of your recriminations are coming forward. All of you're doing is you're saying that this has power over me.
You're saying the state is God. You're supposed to get on your knees at midnight or in the early morning when and tell God you repent of things you've done. You don't tell in a football stadium, mainstream media, you're my God, I'm bad, tell me what to do. That is sick.
And you realize they're not taking a knee to Trump. So I'd love to talk to any one of these guys and say, who are you taking a knee to? Who specifically do you have in mind when you're taking that knee?
They're kneeling to political correctness and hating white people.
That's all it is.
They're kneeling to white genocide.
And they won't admit it.
And then I don't want anybody to be genocided, but everywhere it's kill the whites, the universities, no whites can come on campus. Whites, it's a bunch of weird white people going, we need to kill all the white people. Just everywhere. Or Hillary, we lost because of white people. It's the most racist, weird, anti-Martin Luther King crap I've ever heard. Martin Luther King would say, you people are crazy. We'll be right back with hour number four with Jack Posobiec, myself, Alex Jones, Paul Joseph Watson, and more. Remember, it's this crew making it all happen, and you out there, the listeners. Infowarsstore.com. Finance us and piss off the globalist.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show. Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
If you're a radio listener, you got to go to InfoWars.com and look at this sack of crap. The official graduation. He's a new Army officer. He says he's a sergeant. Pro-Kaepernick Army officer post communism will win. I mean, they exterminate your ass. He's saying that he wants to end our republic, end free elections. Related posts promote Antifa, killing capitalist, and Trump hatred. Yeah, you go to his site, he wants to kill people. And you know what? These guys just keep pushing their stuff about how they want violence. If it's real civil war. But then look at the rest of the graduates at West Point. I mean, I'll just tell you, the white guys, the black guys, all of them, they don't look like the kind of West Point graduates I used to see. They look like a bunch of sniveling little stunted, you know, rats, all giggling and laughing, thinking it's funny that he's doing a communist hand sign. It's so cute. It's so funny. How sickening is that, Jack Posobiec?
It's disgusting. And actually, the last time I checked, I'm pretty sure advocating for the overthrow of the U.S. government gets you kicked out of the military.
Nope. Having the president support you and supporting the republic.
Right.
That gets you kicked out of Navy intelligence.
I'm sorry. You're right. I forgot. My own experience, we learned it's the opposite. If the president says that they support you, then you get kicked.
Aren't you ashamed of supporting America and all this freedom? How dare you not want to live in North Korea or get in a time machine, go back to the Soviet Union, which the Russians say was horrible. What's your problem? This little snot-nosed son of a bitch, you know, got everything paid for by taxpayers, had some asshole, excuse me, Lord, I'm not going to do that, had some congressman endorse his ass to be there. I mean, I got to be honest with you, I'm not a violent person, but Antifa, he supports it, running around beating up women. That guy wants to get in a boxing ring with me. I'm like 20-something years older than him. I guarantee you, I'll do it for charity. I'd love to stomp the hell out of that guy.
This guy, I mean, he's so skinny, too.
Well, he's an arrogant, piece of
crap. This is his
Says he wants to kill people. He says he wants to kill people.
We should take a look at those Antifa protests from New York. So West Point's not too far from New York City. We should see if he's participated in these Antifa assaults on
people. You know he has.
These protests that have turned violent. We should start looking through. Maybe 4chan can go and take a look. I mean, he's putting his face right out there. You can all go back and look, and you can see.
Look at his eyes. He had a power trip. He knows commies get to run around and kill people, which he lusts about. This is what our military's filled with. Look at these so-called officers. I mean, they look like little punks.
The one guy right behind, I will say this, the one guy right behind him does look a little flabbergasted. He's like, what are you doing? What
is this guy thinks it's funny.
That guy's laughing. The guy right behind him, the one who's facing at the camera, he's like, what's going on right now? I don't think this is right.
Veterans for Kirkpatrick.
With a sword. He's holding a sword. He's got his sword on right there. See that right on the hill? He's got his sword hilt. He's got all of it. That's their ceremonial saber. So he's sitting there with a weapon, mind you, saying communism will win. With a weapon.
He's saying, we're in your military. We're taking over.
Yeah, I can't believe.
They're uncloaking right now.
I can't believe that he would do this and show his face. I can't believe that he didn't cut that out. Because it's
because also, he's protected. There's probably more of them than there are us.
And it's also the narcissism of it. It's that self-actualization of narcissism of saying, look how strong I am. I'm going to write on the little marker on the inside.
Boy, wasn't McCarthy proven right?
Yeah, Joseph McCarthy. I mean, he said all those years ago, he said, we are having communists infiltrate.
They've even got our army. He said it's in the army.
They're getting into the military. And they looked at this, and then we were told, oh, he's just crazy.
He said the army specifically.
But he specifically said the army. He specifically said to look out for this stuff. So what happens? Keep in mind, now what happens if McCarthy was right, and those people that got in those years ago, are now the ones at the higher levels in the army? Are now the ones that are calling the shots. Think about that.
Look at this punk. You know what? It is winning over the people of North Korea and China that live in slave factories. It is winning over the human spirit.
You know North Korea is going to be using this. North Korea is going to put this out in their next propaganda message. And they're going to say, look, we've got communists on our side.
Can't handle it anymore, man.
They're not going to fight us. They're going to say the
U.S. And he supports the violent Antifa and talks about killing people. When are they going to start getting taught some lessons? I'm serious, man.
I'd give that.
He's in our military and one of our most elite universities telling us he's going to kill us. It's a clear and present danger. Yeah, there's his Twitter account.
Oh, wow.
Oh, and then he's into Grant. He wants to burn. Oh, yeah, he's an anti-Southerner on top of it. Good God. This guy's such a piece of crap. Ulysses S. Grant, a total alcoholic, horrible general, just a complete moron. Spencer Rapone, Sergeant Rapone, Benedict Arnold, publicly against the Republic.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
What we are looking at, good and evil.
Right and wrong, a new world order. Now, there's an article up on Infowars.com. Paul Watson's taking over here with Jack Posobiec and his great work. We're in Austin, Paul's in London, England, and we're looking dead on at the Spencer Rapone getting out as a sergeant. And he has communism will win in his hat at graduation and a Che Guevara shirt under. Hey, I actually didn't believe it when I read in some right-wing publication 20 years ago that Che Guevara called Mexicans roaches. So I went to the library and I got his book where he called them dumb roaches and a bunch of other stuff. And he black people he just absolutely hated. And that's the weird-ass thing about it. Communists are so evil and so elitist. You hear about the Chinese communists calling their peasants scum and stuff. And saying, so what if, you know, 50 million die? They're a bunch of little you know, grasshoppers, they call them. They mean like eating our food.
Potatoes. Mao called them potatoes.
Yeah, all sorts of
potatoes. Don't even eat them. Just eat them. And that's the main food over there in China, a lot of parts of China.
Oh, I forgot. Under the Cultural Revolution, the Great Leap Forward, the main food was giant cook pots. I forgot. That's public. In fact, the communists have published books admitting it. Yep. There's photos. I forgot. Guys, Google giant cook pots that communist Chinese cooked the villagers in. Yep. I forgot. The 80-something million mainly got eight.
Yeah, there was cannibalism. It was there that was done. Mao also used the cook pots as a form of torture. Oh, when he was up in the mountains in Yunnan after the Long March, he would put you in a pot, fill it with water overnight when it was freezing cold in the winter and just leave you out there. And you froze and half your body would get cut off.
And then they just cooked you afterwards.
And then they would just cook you. And that's what he would do with his enemies.
By the way, this is the stuff I've repressed in my brain because there's documentaries that the communists have put out saying we've reformed ourselves. We don't put you in cook you anymore.
Right.
Like that's not some right wing propaganda.
No, this is stuff that Chairman Mao did. This is stuff that it's completely suppressed in the U.S., completely suppressed in China. But you can go out and actually read the sources. That great book.
There's photos of the cook pots.
Yeah, there's photos.
And they're like putting little kids in them because that was.
Next time I come, I'm bringing the book. I'm going to bring the book that's got all the photos, or we can find it. So you can find it.
I've seen it before.
Yeah, what they would do is because and the reason.
Well, no, they actually arrested Mao's wife. And she died in prison. They blamed her for it all.
Right. So after, right, exactly. They blamed her for the Cultural Revolution. And there was her and there was three others. They called them the Gang of Four. And they said, no. They said, Mao was just trying to help the country, but it was you four who were giving the orders. And then she died mysteriously in prison not too long after.
And that's the thing. Then you see some snot nose with a free education in this beautiful, wonderful country saying, I want to kill people, I'm in Antifa, I want to kill capitalists, and then they found on the Facebook where they're recruiting the military. Let's put it on screen. Posobiec, tell us about it. We're going to hand the baton to Paul Watson.
So we're looking at this guy, his Twitter account, and he's got up there, it says DSA Veterans. And DSA, Alex, that's Democratic Socialists of America. So it's a communist...
That's the original core commie group.
Original core. And so you look at veterans, he's got it right there in his bio. And I said, wait a minute, I recognize that DSA because that Democratic Socialists of America, that was Communist Party USA. And so you look at that and then you go through their feed. They've got thousands of followers. It's a working group, they say, that they're targeting specifically. It says veterans, but as we know from this guy, they're now targeting active duty U.S. military members to convert them to communism.
And let's show the group with a bunch of military people. God, this is, and they're tying it into Kaepernick and the NFL as a recruiting mechanism.
No, they'll use anything they can because they know these guys.
And look, he's attacking the Army veteran, the Hispanic Army veteran who held his hand over his heart saying, hey, we're going to defeat your ass.
Yeah, Task and Purpose is one of their sites. They did a huge hit piece on me. They called me up and said, hey, Jack, we're a veteran site. Just come talk to us. And I wrote it up. And they wrote all this slander. And at the end, it just said, Posobiec refutes these comments or these accusations. And I said, wait a minute. I didn't know there were left-wing veterans organizations. That's how I first heard about it. So Task and Purpose is actually this sort of hugely left-wing, hugely communist group that's run by former military members, people who got out because either they were, you know, they couldn't keep up with standards or whatever. And now they're basically designed to attack military members, attack people for speaking up for the country, attack people who are patriotic, people like me.
Sure, and then they ban any type of conservative march right at Berkeley because Antifa will attack you. Then Antifa has their march and attacks our reporters and beats up their car and smashes their windows. Infowars.com. And it's not even big news now. We're just accepting. That's what happens to us. That's how they act. That's what they do as they dream of more violence.
Normalization of violence. We talk, how many months ago did we talk about this? The normalization of violence. And now we're seeing it.
And that's my next question for Paul as we hand the baton here to Paul Joseph Watson, reporting for London. Got a big guest coming up at the bottom of the hour as well. Paul, we have this Islamicist from Sudan who said, I want to kill whites. I want to kill Christians. He goes and shoots 9 people, kills one, gets stopped by an usher with a gun. The media demonizes the church. What kind of church has got guns? Well, we're being targeted. And then we say this is white genocide promoted by the media. We're not the KKK people. It's the media promoting white genocide. They're pushing this. It's getting insane. And now if it's an Islamic attack, it barely even hits the news. And Sadiq Khan, your Islamicist mayor who's putting the city under Sharia law, he says that Trump is ISIS for not wanting to kneel like the president does in Superman to Zod and just kneel to political correctness. So, Paul, let me ask you this. What are they kneeling to when they're kneeling? And why don't they care their ratings and support is plunging and they're losing hundreds of millions of dollars a year? Because like Posobiec said, it's a program. It's a program. Paul Joseph Watson.
Well, they're kneeling. They're genuflecting to political correctness and intersectionality and social justice hysteria. That's what it's all about. You know, who's kneeling, Alex, for the 300,000 black babies aborted every single year in the United States? Who's going to kneel for the 2,400 black people killed by, not cops, other black people every single year in the United States? You know, who's going to kneel to draw attention to the 75% illegitimacy rate amongst black people in black communities? Oh, by the way, Colin Kaepernick's black father left him. His mother is white, of course. Nobody's going to kneel to draw attention to that. Oh, but Trump's racist for bringing it up. Okay, so Hillary's back again today. Herpes Hillary. She's painful, embarrassing, and won't go away. She's back again doing interviews today, every single day, forevermore. She will never go away. Saying that Trump is racist, that it's a racist dog whistle for him to say that NFL players should stand for the national anthem. Now, that's odd, because a big poll that's come out today has found that the majority of African Americans think the same thing, okay? 48% to 37% agree with Trump that NFL players should stand for the national anthem. Oh, but Trump's racist for saying the exact same thing. You had an MSNBC guest earlier today as well come out and say that, oh, Trump basically said the N-word at this rally in Alabama on Friday when this NFL issue first cropped up. I mean, he didn't, and that's an absolutely outrageous claim, but you know, he basically said the N-word just by talking about it. You have ESPN. You had an ESPN analyst yesterday say that Trump, because he said that, you know, it was getting too soft, they weren't allowed to bang into each other as much in the NFL. That was him communicating that he wanted black people to get hurt. So again, it all goes back to this amazing coincidence, and that's what I'm going to ask our guest about at the bottom of the hour, CJ Pearson, a 15-year-old activist. It all goes back to Donald Trump featuring at events by prominent black leaders for years, for decades, most of them Democrats, by the way, giving them money, advocating their causes to clean up the inner cities. Everybody loves him for decades. Oh, but as soon as he runs as a Republican, he's a racist. That's what it's come down to. But the simple fact is, Americans aren't buying it. Alex mentioned the poll earlier, which is that the vast majority of Americans, this is up on Infowars.com, the vast majority of Americans side with Trump on the take and e controversy. And again, as I mentioned before, even the majority of Democrats, even Democrats in a slim majority of 43 to 41% think that NFL players should stand for the national anthem. 64% total when they were asked, do you think NFL players should stand and be respectful during the national anthem? 64% said yes, just 25% said no. Not sure, 11%. So the vast majority, the clear majority
of
Americans.
But we know this is being engineered, Paul. I'm going to jump out here, but why is it being engineered? I'm going to skip both the breaks that are network breaks we can skip, because I know you also probably want to air the amazing video you did. Take a knee is total BS, but we're going to punch out. War Room's coming up. Subic will be on that as well. 3 o'clock Central, Rob Deuce hosting today. A lot more coming up, but back to you, Paul Watson in London.
Yeah, you have a situation in America where we've seen mass hysteria from day one. We kind of had a break, didn't we, with the earthquakes, the extreme weather events. But still, almost a year after the election, Trump derangement syndrome still runs rampant. And that's what it's all about. You'll notice in the first couple of days after this reignited, none of them really knew what they were taking a knee for. Oh, it's free speech. Oh, it's patriotism. Oh, it's police brutality. Haven't even been any major cases of police
brutality.
They're
taking a knee to say they hate America, so they should get the hell out.
It was a continuation of Trump derangement syndrome. They were triggered. Now, Trump said a lot of things in that speech. The media picked up on that one. They were triggered by it. It's still the fallout from this hysteria about Hillary Clinton losing. They're still not over it. Over 10 months after the election, the three most prominent, famous people who came out in the hours after Trump made this statement about the NFL, LeBron James, Pharrell Williams, the other one was an NBA basketball player, Steph Curry, all three of them openly campaigned for Hillary Clinton before the election, before even Colin Kaepernick came out in August of 2016, which, of course, was before Donald Trump was elected. They all blamed it on Trump for bringing this back up. But again, the three most prominent officials who came out in the hours after Trump made these statements had all campaigned for Hillary Clinton. In the case of LeBron James and Pharrell Williams, who is a singer, they appeared on stage with her. Pharrell Williams was flying around in her official campaign jet. There's pictures of him walking down the stairs with her. LeBron James introduced her on stage. Hillary Clinton, they directly campaigned with her.
And he's butthurt because he's a loser. And so now he's going to call everybody KKK that stands up against his spoiled rotten ass.
That's exactly it. This is still the fallout. They still can't get over it. It is mass. It's a moral. It's not only a moral panic. It's like the satanic panic of the 80s. It's like the daycare panic. Again, they try and pick up on all these little things to feed into their paranoia. Nothing's working. So now they've rejuvenated this Colin Kaepernick freakout from a year ago, from over a year ago, from before when Trump was even elected. Now, another development we've got up on Infowars.com today. Steelers owner begs fans not to abandon team over national anthem protests. You remember yesterday we had the big viral story with all the videos of not only Steelers fans but other NFL fans burning their tickets, burning their jerseys, burning their NFL gear in protest at this disrespect for the American flag, for the anthem, and everything it stands for. Of course, Villanueva came out for the Steelers, the only player to come out. All the rest of them hid in the locker room. He was forced to apologize. He was forced to walk it back. Oh, everybody gets their free speech. That was the whole mantra after this. Oh, it's just free speech. Unless you actually want to stand and recognize the anthem, then we're going to attack you. In the case of black players who stood for the anthem, we're going to call you the C word. We're going to call you Uncle Tom. Villanueva was forced to walk it back. His own coach of the Steelers attacked him immediately after the game ended. Oh, but now you're going to try and walk it back. Too late. too late. Steelers president Art Rooney II penned a panicked letter to Steelers fans after the team didn't show up to the field during the national anthem before a game on Sunday. So again, they're reacting to the revolt that's taken place in the 24 hours since. Rooney was responding to the scores of Steelers fans posting videos on YouTube of them burning their Steelers gear and vowing never to support the team ever again. He wrote, "The intentions of Steelers players were to stay out of the business of making political statements by not taking the field. BS. They deliberately chose to stay in the locker room to dishonor the anthem. That's why Villanueva got in trouble, because he's the only one who didn't." So it's BS on top of BS. Now they're trying to walk it back because everyone's boycotting them, freaking out. He goes on to write, "Unfortunately, that was interpreted as a boycott of the anthem." Oh, do you think not actually showing up for the anthem would be interpreted as a boycott of it? "Oh, that was never our player's intention," he claims. BS. They completely crucified Villanueva for doing the opposite because they all agreed to boycott it before the game. That's what it was all about. So now they're trying to walk it back. Donald Trump has been proven right once again when he said that the NFL at least has the right to fire these players for their, quote, free speech. Isn't it amazing how, oh, when YouTube censors us, the left screams, "Oh, but Google's a private company. They can censor who they like. They can censor your free speech if they like. It's a private company." Well, the NFL's a private company, okay? It can do the same thing. "Oh, no, that's horrible, and Trump's literally Hitler for saying it." Complete disconnect. Fox News reports Trump is correct. NFL teams can legally fire players for their conduct. The First Amendment does not protect National Football League players from being fired. The Constitution's freedom of expression applies only to government action, not private businesses. Somebody can't run into your house and call you every name under the sun and then claim it's their freedom of speech. No, that's not freedom of speech. Doesn't apply for private businesses. Oh, but, you know, they'll come crashing down hard on the bakery that won't bake a gay wedding cake. But the NFL can do whatever it likes. Oh, the NFL supports free speech. Unless you want to honor dead cops killed by a Black Lives Matter activist, or unless you want to honor 9/11 victims, then no. They'll come crashing down hard on your free speech in that case. Oh, but if you want to genuflect to this social justice warrior intersectional insanity, they'll give you all the support you need. Interesting also coming out of this poll that I mentioned before, clearly illustrates that people, and even Democrats, are absolutely sick of politics being inserted into absolutely everything. So we had 64% of respondents basically supporting Trump, saying that players should stand for the anthem. Even Democrats in a slim majority supported that, as did African Americans. Almost double, 60 to 31% said there was a more appropriate place to demonstrate than during the anthem at the beginning of NFL games. And again, they were asked, quote, "In the future, would you prefer to see more politics, less politics, or the same amount of politics during sporting events?" 80% wanted less politics, with just 7% wanting more politics. And again, the huge majority of even Democrats wanted less politics. 51 to 19% of Americans said they were watching less NFL football this year. When asked why, 69%, again, the clear majority, way above any other reason, said it was due to, quote, "players using the NFL as a stage for their political views." This is a dog that doesn't hunt. Trump has chosen the right side here, but they're doubling down. They're going to collapse into this narrative, which is a completely failed narrative. Even Joe Scarborough of MSNBC, no fan of Trump, constantly attacks Trump, admitted in a tweet on Sunday night, I think it was, that this is just a losing game for Democrats and the left. If they really want to take on Trump, given that he's now associated opposition to him with opposition to America itself, it's a losing narrative for them. Now, again, they asked people in this poll who did they have the most favorable view of, Donald Trump or NFL commissioner Roger Goodell. Donald Trump, 46% favorability, which is roughly in line with his presidential approval rating. Roger Goodell, 12%. 12%. That is absolutely pathetic. That's what people in this poll said. Again, the American people are sick of being bombarded with social justice and identity politics in absolutely everything. Every single awards show, even drama shows, even movies, Netflix, bombarded with this crap on a regular basis. People are turning off in droves. Hollywood is failing. The Golden Globes losing its audience. The VMA MTV Music Awards losing its audience. What, did it lose like half of its audience in a couple of years? People don't want to hear this anymore. They're sick to the back teeth of it. The situation you have going on in Hollywood, where they also try to inject all this identity politics, virtue signaling, cultural jihad into absolutely everything, is that, you know, they used to be rescued if they made a bad film in Hollywood by DVD sales. That's not happening anymore because now, of course, we have Netflix. That safety net has gone, which is why in Hollywood they take fewer and fewer risks with movie scripts, which is why you see this constant regurgitation of superhero sequels, Star Wars, Batman, Superman, because they know it's reliable and they know people are going to watch it, really, whatever the plot. So that's why they can inject this identity politics, social justice hysteria. And of course, who suffers? The viewing audience, because we never get any kind of nuance. We never get any kind of variety in big movies. Now, you get the occasional one. In fact, Kingsman 2 just came out. And even though it's not overtly political, the mere fact that they don't inject diversity hires and social justice identity politics into every facet of the script, now they're getting attacked by the left for not doing that. Because, like, the three lead guys in the film are all white men. Doesn't even matter. Nobody even cared about this 20 years ago. Nobody cared. You could have a massive blockbuster film. You could have something like Independence Day. Two lead roles, a black guy and a Jewish guy. Nobody cared. Nobody noticed because it worked. Now with all these enforced diversity hires where it has to be, oh, you have to have a black man and a Jewish woman and a transgender person, disabled person, whatever, it's getting worse and worse. It's at the script, the movie suffers because they're all hyper-focused on that, not focused on just making a good movie. And then it's filled, it's stuffed to the brim with all this virtue signaling and identity politics crap. It gets in the way of a good movie. That's why Hollywood is beginning to fail. That's why all these big award shows are beginning to fail, because they're obsessed with their Trump derangement syndrome. It's absolutely insane. Let me know if we're skipping this break, by the way. We've got a guest coming up. Yeah, we're going to go for this break. But after the break, we have CJ Pearson, who is going to talk about this NFL take a knee controversy from the perspective of an African-American. CJ Pearson coming up. This is the Alex Jones Show Live, fourth hour. Don't go away.
Live from the Infowars.com studios, you're listening to the Alex Jones Show. And now, your host, Paul Joseph Watson.
We are back live. It is the Alex Jones Show. Going to hit a couple of news stories here. Alex mentioned earlier this shooter in Tennessee who went into a church, injured seven, killed one woman. Of course, the media has completely forgotten about it. Looks like it was a terror attack, perhaps alt-left motivated. Daily Caller reports MSNBC leaves out Tennessee shooter's nationality. MSNBC has refused to tell its viewers that the gunman in the Tennessee church shooting is a Sudanese immigrant, instead identifying him as being from Tennessee. Oh, he's just a local. Just a local. Workplace violence, no doubt. In the seven mentions of the shooter's identity on the network from Sunday afternoon, when the shooting occurred, until Monday morning, MSNBC never mentioned his status as an immigrant. They did share his name, age, photo, and his residence in Tennessee. Now, of course, we had the story yesterday that this individual had shared, commented on, sympathized with videos on Facebook, which basically smeared all white people as terrorists. Isn't that interesting? Given what happened last year, of course, in Dallas with Javier Johnson, the pro-Black Lives Matter gunman who massacred Dallas cops, of course, doing it in his own words to get back against white people because he hated white people. So now we have a situation in Tennessee where this guy burst into the church, luckily was stopped after a grapple with a, I think it was a 22-year-old guy in the church who was pistol whipped but still managed to stop him, managed to cause the shooter to actually shoot himself. That's how he was actually apprehended. Then he went and got his license gun. The situation was over. But seven wounded, it could have been potentially way more catastrophic. One woman dead. This has been completely buried. People were barely even talking about it yesterday, the day after it happened. Now it's being completely buried. How is this not of equal importance to something like what happened in Charlottesville, which also, you know, injured several people, killed one, tragic, deplorable. This is the same, but nobody's even talking about this anymore. It's gone because, again, it's not too great for their narrative, given that Sudan was, again, one of the original companies on the Trump ban list. That's been removed in the most recent incarnation of that ban list. But again, completely buried by the media. MSNBC won't even talk about his nationality. Absolutely incredible. Mentioned this one earlier. MSNBC analyst, this is Daily Caller again, Trump basically shouted the N-word. MSNBC analyst and GOP strategist Steve Schmidt said Tuesday morning that President Trump basically said the N-word by deriding NFL players as sons of bitches. Now, again, we go back. 75% illegitimacy rate in the black community. Nobody's going to take a knee over that. No, they're going to get offended over Trump saying the words sons of bitches. That's what we need to get offended about, okay? Schmidt said during a panel on MSNBC Live that he watched an NFL player get jammed up when someone asked him if Trump is a racist. Again, amazing that Trump only became a racist when he ran as a Republican, having previously appeared with black leaders for years and even decades down the line, spoke at black events, donated money for inner city projects to help the black community. Oh, but as soon as he runs as a Republican, he's a racist, as are all his supporters, according to Hillary Clinton. So Schmidt said, let me say it, he's a racist. Absolutely incredibly novel, original insult there. Well done. Schmidt argued that Trump's battle with the kneeling NFL protesters during his rally in Alabama proves that he is a racist and, in fact, is basically shouting the N-word. That's what he's just basically shouting the N-word because he made a point which you disagree with. So he as good as said the N-word. Okay, you're insane, you're hysterical. Quote, you look at that speech in Alabama to an all-white crowd. Again, wasn't all white. There are actually black people in Alabama. There are actually black Trump supporters. I know you don't recognize them as actual people who have their own volition and ability to think because you have the bigotry of low expectations and you're the actual racist. But no, there were black people in that crowd. Quote, we need to get real about this in this country. The president of the United States goes down there and he talks about us and those people. He came as proverbially as close as you can possibly come to shouting at a rally, the N-word. That's what he did down there. Actually didn't come anywhere close to it. Didn't even make anything racial out of it. But you're so hopped up on the frigging race card every single day with your anti-Trump hysteria that even when he doesn't even approach racial rhetoric, you say he basically said the N-word. No, you're insane. Shut up. This is another one, Huffington Post. This is even more stupid. Donald Trump prefers violent football so more black players get hurt, says ESPN analyst. Because ESPN, which is now the Social Justice Network, has basically ceased being a sports network. When President Donald Trump spoke in Alabama on Friday against NFL players who kneeled during the national anthem, he also appeared to come out in favor of concussions. During his speech, Trump argued that rules designed to minimize concussions and CTE, a neurodegenerative disease, are ruining the game. So you probably remember the quote. Trump said today, if you hit too hard, 15 yards, throw him out of the game. They had that last week. I watched for a couple of minutes. Two guys, just really beautiful tackle. Boom, 15 yards. The referee gets on television. His wife is sitting at home. She's so proud of him. They're ruining the game. So Trump thinks that they're ruining the game, that it's becoming too pansy, that people aren't allowed to tackle each other properly. No, that's racist. What? What? ESPN analyst Kevin Blackstone was interviewed by MSNBC's Nicole Wallace. What a combination that is. To argue a shocking point. The reason the president prefers violent football games is because it ensures more black men get hurt. Yes, that's obviously the reasonable, logical conclusion that anyone would jump to if somebody said that. Obviously, he's talking about that it's not as physical as it once was and that it's ruining the game because it's not as competitive and hard-hitting. Anyone with half a brain cell could gauge that from what he said. But no, we have to turn it into something racist because that's the essence of intersectionality. Every little frigging thing is a racial microaggression. So this idiot ESPN analyst said, quote, you look at stacking by position and those positions that suffer the greatest from CTE, they're the positions that black males are more likely to play. Well, what? 70% of the NFL is black anyway. Like, that's an argument. Blackstone said the fact that Trump dismissed details like that as well as suggesting CTE or chronic traumatic encephalopathy, pronunciation, does not exist, shows a callousness towards the athletes, adding, and particularly the black athletes who play this game. Trump did not have to say explicitly anything about black players, but it came across loud and clear. So it's the exact same as the previous instance with him saying the N-word. It's like, oh, he didn't actually say the N-word, but he might as well have said the N-word because we're hysterical and we think literally everything that rolls out of his mouth is racist. So we're just going to say he basically said the N-word. We're just going to say he basically said he wants black people to die. Wants black people to get concussions. Oh my God, the Trump derangement syndrome truly knows no bounds. We have our guest now ready. He is CJ Pearson, 15 years old, political activist, writer and commentator, national chairman of Teens for Trump. The website is cjpearson.org. CJ, good to have you on the show today.
Hey, Paul.
Now, of course, we had Hillary Clinton, CJ, come out earlier and basically say that Trump was blowing on this racist dog whistle by attacking the NFL and that he's basically attacking black people. We had the MSNBC guest I mentioned earlier say that he was basically coming out and saying the N-word at his Alabama rally, even though he didn't say the N-word, went nowhere near anything racial. Now we have a poll. The majority of African Americans, 48 to 37%, agree with Trump that NFL players should stand for the anthem. So, I mean, CJ, is Donald Trump attacking players who take a knee because he hates black people or because he hates seeing America being disrespected?
I think it's really the latter. He hates seeing America being disrespected. I think few people like, you know, Secretary of Housing and Urban Development Ben Carson would argue that Donald Trump hates black people. I doubt the black Surgeon General that Donald Trump appointed would argue that Donald Trump hates black people. You know, the lunacy that we are hearing from people like Hillary Clinton and that guest you cited on MSNBC is absolutely just maddening in a way. Like you said in your intro, Trump derangement syndrome is seemingly, it knows no bounds, and it's completely insane to me because everything that comes out of his mouth of this president has to be racist, it has to be bigoted, it has to be some sign or indicator of white supremacy. And it's completely ludicrous. This is a man who is defending our country, our nation, and the sacrifices of so many people who have died fighting for this country. And a majority of Americans agree with him. And that's the thing. A majority of Americans agree with him. And for Hillary Clinton to claim that somehow, some way, that by attacking the NFL, that Donald Trump is attacking black people, I'd actually ask her to look at the NFL and its demographic makeup. There's only one minority owner in the NFL, and everyone else, well, they're not motivated by their, you know, passion for the cause that Colin Kaepernick is kneeling for anyways. They're motivated by the ratings. They're motivated by the money. And the fact that they're willing to cash in on disrespect of this country is absolutely disgusting.
Now, of course, we had Sheila Jackson Lee, congresswoman, today take a knee. They've seemed to figure out amongst themselves. I mean, in the first day or so, they didn't really know why they were doing it again because there haven't been any high-profile cases of police brutality. But, I mean, you know, 16 unarmed black men shot dead by cops every year. Yes, that's 16 too many. But, CJ, 2,400 on average black men shot by other black men every single year in the United States. What should we be taking a knee for, given those circumstances? Which do you think is the most pressing issue for the black community?
You're right, and those issues are incredibly important. Those are all issues that our president, who's accused of white supremacy and racism every single day, seeks to shine a light on every single day. He seeks to shine a light on that issue. He seeks to shine a light on the issue that 59% of black youth are unemployed in this country, and this is a problem that has plagued America since the start of the Obama administration. This is a president who's accused of racism every single day for caring about the plight of black America in this country. If they want to take a knee, maybe they should take a knee for the black babies who are dying every single day in Chicago. Maybe they should take a knee for the children who can't find a job in the inner cities of America because the communities are ran by incompetent Democratic politicians who are reelected time and time again, regardless of the incompetence they show towards the plight of black America. This is a president who has shown concern for black America. This is a president who cares about black America. And to accuse him of racism and bigotry just to fit the narrative is absolutely disgusting.
You mentioned it there, you know, 300,000 black babies aborted every year in the United States. So those lives don't seem to matter. Those black lives don't seem to matter to people if they're in the womb and you can kill them and you're a progressive. That's not even part of the debate. Again, in Chicago, you've literally got relentless carnage. What, you've got 700 dead black people every single year in Chicago. The weekends are an absolute train wreck. Every single weekend, nobody's talking about it. Everybody's talking about this police brutality issue, which has flared up with these individual cases. Some of them egregious, like, you know, Eric Garner, others not. I would argue Michael Brown. It's a case of criminals getting into violent confrontations with cops and seeing the consequence of that. But I want to talk about some of the things that you've been subjected to, because, again, this is what I know is they save their most racist vitriol, the left, for smart black conservatives. You see it every time. You tweeted this the other day. I've been called the N-word by liberals far more than I have ever been called the N-word by any Republican. Who are the real racists? You had black NFL players a couple of days ago who stood up for the anthem. You could go on Twitter. They were labeled the C-word. They were labeled Uncle Tom's. The worst thing you could imagine for their free speech. Okay, they made a decision to do that for their free speech. CJ, do you think the left has any kind of moral high ground when it comes to dishing out the racist label, given that this is how they treat African Americans who dare to have a different opinion?
Yeah, they have no moral high ground now, and nor should they have ever, to be honest with you. You look at the history of this party, this is the party that was founded upon the pillars of racism. We literally founded to preserve slavery, the idea that black people were property. This was a party founded to fight for that. That is their historical link. You can't run away from that. You can't run away from that. And now you come to the present tense. This is a party that is so-called the party of tolerance, right? But when a black boy says something that a black boy is supposed to say, I'm labeled an Uncle Tom. I'm labeled a house Negro. I'm labeled this and that. Well, the fact of the matter is that, like I said in that tweet, I've never been really called that by any Republican, but every single day I say something that the left doesn't like, I'm called that by every Democrat across the country. And it's disgusting. It's disgusting. It's demeaning. It's ironic because it's the party, right? They care about freedom of expression, but when we say things they don't like, you know, they need their safe space or they're angry with us and they call us these things and they seek to shut us down. But also this is the party that supports people of color, right? Well, they don't support people of color if you don't support them. And I think it just goes to show the limited tolerance that Democrats have for people who don't agree with their ideology.
No, I had Red Pill Black on, who is, you probably heard of her. She's getting big now. She's on Fox News the other day. She said the same thing. She said, obviously, she's an African-American woman. She used to get bullied at school for, quote, acting white, she said. Now, we had this NBA coach who came out yesterday and said that white people should be made to feel uncomfortable over this take a knee thing. We're talking about white privilege. We're talking about black people getting bullied for acting white. She said acting white equated to working hard and being smart. I mean, we all start at different baselines, but last time I checked, you didn't have to be white to work hard and to educate yourself. You know, how much of this discussion over white privilege, CJ, is because some in the black community try to drag others back so as not to expose their own laziness, their own lack of get up and go in life? A lot of black people who are successful seem to experience that.
Yeah, That's the thing I love about this country, the thing I love about America, the reason that you will never catch me kneeling, the reason that I will always respect the red, white, and blue, is because this is a country in which if you work hard and play by the rules, you can be anything you set out to be. If you work hard, you do what you're supposed to do, you can be anything. This is America, a land of limitless opportunity. If you put your nose to the grindstone, you can succeed. That's what I love about this country. It doesn't matter if I'm white, if I'm black, if I'm Mexican. It doesn't matter. All I need to do is work hard and I can achieve. You know, we see this in every community. People who are lazy, people who aren't doing anything, and they blame their situation on everything else but themselves. So eventually, you know, if you blame everyone else but yourself, maybe you should just realize that you're the problem and not everyone else. You know, the idea here is that this is America, and I am proud to be an American because this is a country that has given much to me, and I hope one day I can give as much as it's given to me to this country, back to this country. Because like I said, this is a land of limitless opportunity. If you work hard and play by the rules, you can succeed. And I don't think in any other country is that sort of success as accessible as it is here in America.
Now, I just want to ask you about this quickly, CJ, because, of course, Black Lives Matter ties into all that we're seeing now with the NFL. I vaguely remember you had some conversations with Black Lives Matter leaders a while back. Mm-hmm. What impression did those conversations leave you of BLM as a group? And do you think their primary goal is to improve racial harmony, or do they have a different agenda?
Yeah, definitely. So I've had the opportunity to, you know, kind of have a dialogue with some of the leaders of Black Lives Matter. And, you know, I got to say, there's some pretty interesting people. They care about the issue of police brutality, but at the end of the day, a lot of them have kind of hopped onto this bandwagon that this is a suitable form of protest to protest the message they're talking about. You know, you probably noticed this, Paul. When people talk about Colin Kaepernick's protest, no one is talking about why he's doing it or the reason, you know, he claims to be doing it for. No one talks about that. People talk about the fact that he is disrespecting America by doing what he is doing. And so what I would have to say is Black Lives Matter really wants to achieve that racial harmony that they claim to want and claim to want to see here in this country, then they have to pull up a seat at the table and they need to talk about their issues. Kneeling on a football field in front of millions of Americans is not going to do anything but divide us further. A majority of Americans believe that what NFL players are doing is wrong, misguided, and downright disrespectful to the sacrifices of people who have died fighting for this country. That is not a way to achieve unity. That is not a way to bring us together. If they want to bring us together, have a seat at the table. There are multiple ways to voice your opinions here in America. This is America. You know, there is freedom of speech. Even if the left wants to shut it down sometimes, it still exists in this country. If they want to achieve something, talk about the issue. But don't disrespect our country while you do it.
And the polls show, as I mentioned before, 80% plus are just sick of having politics injected into everything. Like, people watch NFL to get away from the constant drumbeat of social justice and identity politics, and more people are turning off. CJ, we're running out of time. Just give us your website and where people can find you on Twitter.
Definitely. Well, people can follow me on Twitter at @CJPearson. You can also check out my website at CJPearson.org. You can follow me on Instagram at @CJPearson2, and my Facebook is facebook.com/CJPearson.
All right, really appreciate the time, CJ. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
All right, there goes CJ Pearson. He's only 15 years old, political activist, writer, and commentator. Check him out at the CJ Pearson on Twitter. Check out his videos. A lot of them have gone viral in the aftermath of this NFL take a knee controversy. He's causing a lot of controversy himself among some people, but again, check out his viral videos on Twitter. Now, let's tell people quickly how they can support InfoWars, because we're under constant assault trying to tell the truth, something that the mainstream networks refuse to do, in fact, are set up specifically not to do. We have the chocolate or strawberry caveman true paleo formula for 50% off retail at InfoWarsStore.com for a limited time, massive 50% discount. Again, it's not going to stick around for long. Caveman fuses powerful ancient nutrition with cutting-edge nutraceutical science to create a high-quality supplement that gives you bone broth and more than 7 different primal superfoods to give you power and strength you've never felt before. Check out the independent third-party reviews for Caveman. Strawberry Caveman True Paleo Formula, 50% off. That is absolutely huge at InfoWarsStore.com. Also 50% off is the Emmerich Essentials Household Product Pack line for a limited time only. This is the perfect way to introduce yourself or a loved one to all natural, toxin-free home products for less. You're going to buy these products anyway. Why not get them from us? Support this broadcast. Organic mouthwash, natural herbal body wash. We've also got unprecedented savings on Emmerich's Essentials packs. 50% off the starter pack, total hygiene pack, or outdoor pack to have all the organic healthy products you need for half the cost. Massive 50% discount of Emmerich's Essentials available at InfoWarsStore.com. Select storable food, also 50% off. This is huge. For a limited time, we're giving you 50% off on our InfoWars Select storable food at InfoWarsStore.com with coupon code READY. Now, with all these earthquakes happening, all these hurricanes, natural disasters, why wouldn't you have a supply of storable food? There's a reason that FEMA reports predict up to 395% increase in food prices that could trigger mass unrest. All the elite have it. Oh, but you're a kook for having it. If nothing happens, you just eat the food and save a bunch of money anyway. I mean, try buying storable food in Europe compared to the US. The prices over here are absolutely astronomical. It's completely unaffordable. This isn't. This is super affordable, 25-year shelf life, super high-quality ingredients, all made in the USA. It's InfoWars Select storable food, and it's 50% off. You should really stock up in bulk on that with that huge discount, 50% off with the coupon code READY at InfoWarsStore.com. And most importantly, it all goes to support this network. Let's hit a few final news stories here in the last couple of minutes. Breitbart reports almost half of crimes in Berlin committed by, you guessed it, the culturally enriched Muslim migrants. Almost half of the individuals suspected of recorded crime in Berlin last year were individuals who don't have a German passport. The proportion of crimes carried out by immigrants rose to 45% last year, a 5% increase from 2015 when they comprised 40% of crimes committed in the German capital. Now, even if you take out immigrant-related crimes, immigration-related crimes are still vastly overrepresented in terms of crimes being committed by migrants in Germany, which is why AfD, the anti-mass immigration party, won, 94 seats in parliament on Sunday to become the third biggest political party in Germany. These policies have consequences. People are saying it's the beginning of the end for Angela Merkel over in Germany. Here's a headline that could only come out of Sweden, or only be about Sweden. Sweden refuses to deport migrant who posed with corpses for humanitarian reasons. A 32-year-old Syrian citizen previously caught, shouldn't laugh about it, it's horrific, but it's Sweden, what do you expect? A 32-year-old Syrian citizen previously caught on camera posing with dead bodies has been sentenced to 8 months in a Swedish prison for severe violations of human rights. Nevertheless, prosecutor's deportation request was denied due to the risk of torture in his country of origin. So he's not going to be sent back. He's going to be out in 8 months after posing with corpses. Breitbart reports Italian TV broadcast alleged footage of Save the Children working with people smugglers. Of course, we've talked many times about these boats that go out right to the coast of Libya, pick up these migrants like a taxi service. Allegations across the board they're in communication with criminal people smugglers, which if proven would shut down that entire route, shut down that taxi service. And that could only be a good thing given what's happening in Europe. That's going to wrap it up for The Alex Jones Show. Check out the latest breaking news at InfoWars.com. Get the products right now at InfoWarsStore.com.
This is GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.